Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rides that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He ye, he ye, King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Table. no need to rise. Just sit down, drink your coffee. Let's have a chat. What do you think about that? First, I want to say hello to all the alphabet soup agencies out there in the world. And even those sub-secret agencies that we're really not knowing that exist or anything like that. I want to say hi to Google and Google's AI and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all them. Yeah, thank you for forcing me into your service. I really appreciate that because, you know, I did sign up for Weebly, but however, I didn't know that Weebly was going to sell out to Google and Facebook, but now I guess I know. So far, we still got GoDaddy. I don't know about how long that they'll take to basically sell out. They might already have. It might already be a sub-secret to the government or to Google or whatever. It's a smile in your face. It's kind of like getting a doggone mortgage on your house with a bank that you trust. And then after a while, the bank sells your mortgage off to another mortgage agency who then in turn might sell it to another mortgage agency. And every so often, you get a letter in the mail saying, well, you don't know those guys anymore. We bought your account. Say, what? I didn't contract with anybody but the bank I started with. Yet now I'm going down to a less reputable and possibly even lesser reputable banking association who may jack up my bill with you know, all kinds of extra fees that I didn't agree with, and then every so often they send you new terms of service out, new privacy policy, and if you don't complain about it whenever they send it out, well then by implied consent you then in turn agreed. So out here on the internet, you know, you've been given the opportunity to read the terms of service and all kinds of things. But most folks just kind of take a lazy attitude to it. Oh, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I don't care what they're tracking on me. They just want to sell me stuff anyway. It's not a question of what they want to sell you. It's a question of who they want to sell it to and what the purpose of that particular deal. Do you know for the right amount of money you can go out and you can get anyone's criminal record history out there on the internet now? Oh, yeah, you could do an investigation on somebody who's done you wrong. You can find their address, their court records, and if need be, you could take that and do some creative advertisement for that particular individual. It's kind of scary when you actually look at it. But either way, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, spying on you, a hostile takeover of freedom and privacy. The Knights of the Round Table is live. So, with that said, I'm going to play this 10 surprising ways the government spies on you. Let's check this out.
Our total immersion with technology is well underway, and there is little doubt that we are about to become even more reliant on the devices that connect us to the internet. Research suggests that the average American adult will spend around 86 hours a month using their smartphone, not to mention the use of PCs and countless other gadgets that fall under the umbrella of the Internet of Things. Some experts are wondering when we will start spending most of our free time in virtual worlds rather than navigating the physical world. Others question how long it will be before we are confessing our most private thoughts and feelings to chatbots or unleashing our primal desires sex bots endowed with artificial intelligence. We should all know then that what we do online is watched over, collected, exploited, and sold. Big Brother is definitely watching you. Today, we'll find out how in this episode of the Infographic Show, 10 Surprising Ways the Government is Spying on You. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell button so that you can be part of our notification squad. Number 10, Prism. First of all, we know that our data is collected so that we can be targeted by companies that want to sell us things. We also know that data is analyzed to better understand us or even to help us become healthier. But why is the government spying on us? The harbingers of techno-doom tell us government surveillance mirrors George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984. His Big Brother creation was omnipresent, lurking in the shadows, a frightening entity verily not employed to serve the public. Spying governments say they are just protecting us, while their detractors would say they're controlling the populace. Prism is one of the United States government's spying, or in less ominous terms, monitoring mechanisms, which was famously exposed by Edward Snowden. Prism was supposed to collect data concerning terror threats that leave a footprint on America. American servers. Unfortunately, reports suggest PRISM did not only look for terrorists, but watched over the ordinary Joe public. PRISM doesn't have direct access to the huge servers such as those of Google, Facebook, Apple, and Microsoft, but the threat lies in what it can demand. Number 9. Intercepts. In the words of Edward Snowden, if they want to get you, over time they will. Using something called intercepts, Snowden famously said the NSA can easily get your emails, passwords, phone records, and credit cards. Intercepts are basically spying methods, collection systems that run through telecommunications networks. It has been revealed that such systems intercept around 1.7 billion communications a day via phone, email, online chats, and texts. Number 8. Talking on the phone. One of Snowden's revelations was that most American telephone companies had been handing over people's phone records to the government. According to NBC News, the U.S. monitors every single phone call that is made in America. But this isn't only happening in the U.S. Recent news reports tell us just lately the Kenyan government has demanded that communications companies hand over all of their data. The U.K., where the fictional Big Brother was created, has often been called one of the worst surveillance states in the world. In 2015, it was reported that the U.K.'s version of the NSA, the Government Communications Headquarters, or GCHQ, had hacked millions of phones by stealing encryption keys built into SIM cards. Number 7. Internet activity. Everything you've ever done online can be collected by the NSA's widest-reaching spying technique called X-KeyScore. It's basically a gigantic search engine run on over 700 servers used by the NSA in the U.S. and in many other countries such as Australia, Great Britain, Denmark, Mexico, Spain, Canada, Japan, Sweden, and New Zealand. In 2012, it was revealed X-KeyScore processed and stored around 41 billion communications in a month. According to Snowden, if he was sitting at his desk, he could easily hack anyone, from an accountant to a federal judge or even the President of the United States. Number 6. By literally watching you through your laptop or phone camera. Did you know that former FBI Director James Comey covers his laptop camera with tape? He also once said that in government offices, the machines come with a little flap that covers the lens of the camera that sits on the monitor. You think he's crazy? Well, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg covers his webcam with tape too, as well as his audio jack. Zuckerberg fears his laptop camera being hacked, and for good reason. The Intercept reported that the NSA can use a plugin called Gumfish to take over a webcam, while the Wall Street Journal reported in 2013 that the FBI can hack microphones and cameras on devices. Number 5. Watching you watch TV. Your TV could be monitoring what you watch and even listening to you. That is according to WikiLeaks documents that show us the CIA and British authorities had been hacking smart TVs. The documents explain that programs such as one called Weeping Angel could make your TV record everything that was happening around it, the audio at least, while collecting information on what you watch. Having a telly you can talk to might not be so smart after all. Number 4. Other connected devices. Did you know a smart sex toy maker was sued recently because it was tracking users' sexual activity without them even knowing it? This is perhaps not an area the government is wont to exploit, but other connected devices are apparently fair game. The U.S. government has made demands that Amazon relinquish data recorded on one of its Amazon Echoes. Amazon declined, citing the First Amendment and privacy rights. Nonetheless, having the smart assistant Alexa in your home might be running the risk of opening your door to a government spy. Number 3. Closed circuit television. There used to be a myth that in a big city you're never more than 6 feet away from a rat. That might not exactly be true, but it's probably true that you're never more than 6 feet away from the view of a CCTV camera. The UK is said to be the most heavily surveilled country on Earth regarding CCTV. The country has an estimated 5.9 million cameras, one for every 11 people. London alone has 420,000 cameras, while Beijing has a whopping 400,000 surveillance cameras. American cities follow on the list of most watched over cities, with Chicago, Houston, and New York all having what some might say is an inordinate amount of CCTV cameras. Number 2. Texting. Another NSA program, DishFire, collects information from your text messages. Along with the UK's GCHQ, billions of messages have been intercepted on a weekly basis, while location, contacts, and credit card details have also been intercepted. The NSA called the program a goldmine and didn't seem to mind that information received was not from any specific dangerous target. Number 1. By being smarter than you. The recent global ransomware hack called WannaCry was apparently partly created with stolen NSA hacking tools. Government spying is hardly a transparent activity. Reports have suggested that the NSA coerces manufacturers to build exploits into their products so that they can be hacked. You think you have an impregnable firewall and the latest security measures, but what if you're using a product that was purposefully built with hidden flaws? It's a dirty game, this surveillance business. The NSA has been accused of hacking foreign banks, oil companies in Brazil, the Mexican government, businesses, and government leaders worldwide. They may even be watching you right now. To quote Snowden again, even if you are not doing anything wrong, you are being watched and recorded. So, what are some of the ways in which you safeguard your privacy? Let us know in the comments. And if you like this video, be sure to check out our other video called 10 Surprisingly High-Paying Jobs. Thanks for watching, and as always, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. See you next time.
Yeah, like, share, and subscribe. That's another way they're going to be able to know what you're looking at, boy. I tell you what, Look, I'm going to say this. I'm going to get a little bit rowdy here for a second. I'm going to say this. People for People Radio Network and Shaziz Radio Network and all the other HTTP websites out there, we all need to gather together and we need to file a class action lawsuit against the mainstream Googles and Facebooks and all the search engines on the internet that have anything to do with the not secured being put above our website. And the reason I'm saying that is because if you try to go over to People for People Radio Network, your browser will tell you it's not secure because People for People Radio Network has a HTTP in front of it. Now there's this new HTTPS, which stands for secure website, because if it's not secure, then that means they might have malware, they might be spying on you, and so on down the line. Well, if you go over to ShazizRadio.com, you will actually get the same message on your browser that it is not secure, which is a lie. It is a flat-out lie. When in reality, if you go to Facebook, even though it is HTTPS, it is not secure. Your information that you post on there is not secure. They collect the information on Google, they collect the information on Twitter, they collect the information on Facebook, and so on down the line. All the social media network platforms out there collect the information on you. And so, if you want to talk about some sort of hypocrisy, putting not secure on my site because I'm not paying Google for a secure certificate that allows them to crawl my site and say that I'm not trying to do anything I'm not supposed to, even though you can sit there and see from your own two eyes, because you can right click on your browser and you can look at the doggone coding on there. You can see that it goes to Weebly. Weebly is the website that I hired to host my website. They are an HTTPS. Whenever I upload anything to Weebly, it is automatically scanned for any possible viruses, because obviously they don't want their servers attached with viruses or malware or anything like that. And in their terms of service, I can't be uploading things that are going to be doing bad things to people. So with that said, by proxy, because I'm on an HTTPS service, I shouldn't be linked into not secure on an HTTP address there. Now, if I go through GoDaddy, I can actually buy a certificate. But then I can't use ChatTango in my chat rooms because ChatTango is on an HTTP server. Now, ChatTangle's not a spyware deal, so why would they be a problem? Because I'm using that chat code in my website by proxy, even if I have an HTTPS, then my website is not secure. If I have any kind of JavaScript code that might go to a third-party deal for maybe, like, if you support the deal, you click on this link and go to eBay. If it's not an HTTPS, then by proxy, once again, I'm not secure. So we, as website owners that are under HTTPS addresses, we need to gather together and form a group and an organization to quite literally sue them for discrimination against our sites. It kills our traffic. It's not fair out there that, you know, Google and Facebook and all the other sites can monopolize on by actually selling you. This is like me putting a virus on your computer. It doesn't even have to be a real virus, but I put a virus on your computer and I tell you, hey, look, I got the software that'll fix that virus, when in reality all you had to do is click on it, delete it, and it's gone. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. It's how we get there, how I get the money out of your pocket that matters. So I can put a virus on your computer, sell you the solution for it, just like they can say that my website's not secure and sell me a certificate to say that my website's secure. This is how they keep the little guys and gals down when it comes to building your own personal website. This is how they determine whether or not in the search engine you're at the bottom of the barrel, the least trusted site, so you got the nifty little check mark that says verified on and so forth. If you're a member of the club, why, you're all right then. But then here's the problem, folks. In all the terms of services out there, if you really sit down and read every single term of service that is out there for anything that you want to use on the internet, either they want to use your information for marketing or to be able to sell to third parties, not excluding the government, or they just want to spy on you before they can sell you something. Might be just that simple. But nonetheless, we need to actually, seriously, as we the people decide that we're not going to take this anymore. I mean, I have, good money on the table when it comes down to paying for my web services. And I think I put together a pretty fair site, not out there tracking anybody. You don't even have to log in to get to ShazizRadio.com. You can just show up. And even in the chat rooms down there, you can come in as an anonymous. You don't even have to, sign up for Chatango. It's kind of cool to sign up for Chatango because then you get your little screen name and all that kind of stuff. But they got terms of services too, so you need to go over and read their terms of services to see whether or not you agree on those terms of services, and then decide whether you want to be anonymous or just come on in and say hi. But here's the kicker of this whole deal. We're sitting here in the year 2019, and it seems like no matter where you're at, they find a way in your house, they find a way on your property, they find your way in your pocket. I mean, because quite literally you're carrying around a microchip inside your doggone credit card or your debit card, and you're carrying around a tracking chip inside your cell phones and all that kind of stuff. Well, some people say, well, I don't care if they know where I'm going. I ain't doing nothing I ain't supposed to. It doesn't make no difference. When you're talking about right to privacy and freedom and not having some, it's not just the government that can spy on you. These people out there that are really good with tools and stuff, they can figure out ways around basically hacking into your cameras and stuff like that, or spying on you. Or somebody gives you a phone, an old iPhone or something like that. There's applications they can put on that phone before they give it to you, and they know everything you do and say and where you go with that phone. They might just be doing it for fun, but maybe they're just doing it because they're nosy, or maybe they're doing it for no nefarious reasons. Regardless, it's up to you to protect your privacy. I'm sure of that. All right, that's the way they say. Well, if you didn't want nobody looking, or you didn't want nobody listening, maybe you should have not signed the service or whatever. Maybe you shouldn't have bought that TV that can listen in on your conversations. I mean, after all, they did tell you that, right? Okay, they said it was right up front. Yeah, if you don't want us watching you while you're watching TV or listening in on your conversations, then you need to go into this setting and set it. And they should have had like a play-by-play description of exactly how to do this for those who aren't really tech savvy. But that's not the way the game's played out here. We're living in a spy versus spy world, and for me personally, I think it's kind of frustrating. I mean, I'm one of the folks, I don't care what they listen to. I don't care that the NSA and the CIA and all the different agencies out there want to listen in. I mean, that gives me a couple extra listeners on Shaziz Radio, so every once in a while I might throw a key word out there so that they zoom in and see what. Oh, what did he say? I said bomb. I said it again, bomb. I got gun. All right, look. Terrorist. So I got a few extra listeners now. Hell, welcome, folks. Hope you got your cup of coffee and your Cheetos and all that kind of stuff, because we're going to have a conversation here today about all kinds of different knuckleheads out there looking in your window. There was a time when a peeping Tom would be illegal, but now the government's the peeping Tom. The corporations is the peeping Tom. They're peeking in your window. And in some unfortunate incidents, I hasten to say, are they looking in on the dressing room at the schools or the doggone restrooms, or when you go to a Doggone. I went to a building one time. There was a government building, and there was a CCTV camera right outside this dressing room, sitting right up above the doggone deal. It wasn't directly in the bathroom, but you could see it was line of sight was right in there where the ladies would be changing their clothes. Now, I mean, I guess some folks ain't modest and don't mind somebody else looking in or anything like that, but what about for the individuals that don't want no peeping Tom gawking at them while they're trying to change their socks or whatever? You know what I mean? I mean, it's ridiculousness. So, yeah, they're spying on you. It's a hostile takeover of freedom and privacy. And the Knights of the Round Table is live. Hi, Barbara. How's it going?
Hey there, everybody. Well, I don't know how it's going. I feel like I'm being observed continually in my life. I feel like, you know, you get that creepy feeling somebody's watching me, and you kind of like look back around your shoulder, but there's nobody there.
Yeah, there was a song about that back in, was it the 70s or the 80s or something like somebody's watching me or something like that. You remember what song I'm talking about?
I don't remember that, but I'm not surprised. I think we get warnings, you know, left and right about what's coming. You know, it's like Big Brother is watching you, you know, I mean, that's very real. It's not my brother, though. I don't know. It's like Big Brother. Who's Big Brother? Yeah, the new wave, or maybe it isn't so new. You know, we've been being, of course, watched, observed, spied on through, you know, various methods. You know, I think originally it was probably about what you're buying, what you're consuming, you know, so that they can send you more advertisements and, you know, track you, and, you know, they have all kinds of tracking devices now. But you know what? This is all, it's all good, shizzes, because after all, this is going to take care of the terrorist situation. You know, the chip in your credit card, the chip in your whatevers, the chip in your hand, you know, what I guess some people are calling the mark of the beast, and, you know, they just want to keep us safe.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Well, here's a good one for you. What about, you know, a new modern-day smart house? Like, you know, you got this AI that's actually taking care of your house, and so
yeah.
Whenever you leave the house, if you forget to turn the light on, your little AI will tell you, well, you know, you walked out and left the light on, so I'm shutting that off for you, okay? Well, then, if you reach your carbon tax level, oh, well, yeah, you're done using the heater because we got to save carbon, so...
use too much energy.
Yeah!
you pulled stuff off the grid, you know, you shouldn't have taken that bath or that whatever. You know, it's like we have smartphones, smart meters, smart TVs. Well, there's a reason why they call them smart, because they're smarter than the people. That's why. Because people don't know what the heck these things are. Oh, yeah, I'm getting a smart TV. What? So I have this story. I'm going to say over 25 years ago. I was traveling for a weekend into a gathering of people. It's called the Star Knowledge, okay? It was a lot of indigenous people, but people from all walks of life. In Colorado, we went to the seminar there, and there were a lot of people there who, I guess you'd say, were into this, you know, realizations or awake to what was going on in the bigger picture or behind the scenes, you know, the hidden stuff. And we were all meeting there, and a lot of people were there, of course, because they believed in the conspiracy theory that we're not alone, you know, and many of them had proof and so on and experiences. So there was all manner of types of people there. And this woman, Barbara Marciniak, I don't know if many of you out there have heard of her, but she was the first person who downloaded information from the Pleiadian ETs, who warned the people here on the earth of various things that were coming in her. Can't remember what her book title was, but anyway, we were heading out to traveling, and we stayed in a motel one night. There were three of us, and she, as soon as we walked in, she took a towel from the bathroom and put it over the TV. You know, and this was a long time ago, and I'm saying, what are you doing? She says, well, they're spying on us. She says, I always, everywhere I go, I cover the TV. You know, that was over 25 years ago. You know, and now, of course, you know, we know that that is true. everything that they have is spying upon us. Who you Google, who you call, what your conversations are, what you're interested in, and initially, you know, they're saying, well, it was, you know, just because advertisers want to know so they can send you advertisements, you know, and drive you crazy. But it's the government, you know. Now, we have, the government is going to microchip our soldiers, the military, right?
Yep.
And, well, it's interesting because years ago, about 15 or so years ago, I predicted that the there would be mandatory chipping, that all of society would be basically forced to be chipped. But they would start out telling people, well, okay, so you chip your animal so you can find your animal. You chip your child in case your child gets abducted or stolen or whatever. And then you have that chip in that child, and so you'll be able to track it easily. I mean, this was so long ago, this wasn't even heard of or thought of. And sure enough, now that's what we have.
Yep.
Now, the question is, I mean, I think it's going to become mandatory. And is this the mark of the beast? I don't know. It sure is going to create a lot of mess for people, you know, and
sure,
I think someday
like
you're not going to be able to do anything without a chip. That's where they're taking us.
It sure sounds like it, because right now got that chip reader in your debit cards, and you actually have to leave the thing in there. Did you know you go to certain ATMs, and when it locks that thing in, if there's anything wrong with your account, or it determines that there's a crazy activity, maybe you went to different places you don't normally go to, it will actually suck your card into the ATM and not give it back to you. It's true. It happened to me.
Yeah, your debit and your credit cards, right?
Yeah, and then you got to go to the bank and then have them get a hold of the people that own the ATM machine to get your doggone debit card back.
But wait, this was a conspiracy theory not that long ago.
But it's a reality. It's right there. I was so mad. I went to check my balance on my doggone debit card. The machine sucked my debit card in and wouldn't give it back. And I needed money for gas. So now I'm on sitting really close to empty. I got to drive 5 extra miles to my bank in order to be able to get my doggone debit card back. And I'm like, what gives here? Oh, that's just a security feature in case your card gets stolen. Well, who stole it? I had it in my hand. You know, the bank stole it. That doggone debit card took it. You know, it's crazy. I got in my hand right now, I got this product that they call a ghost. It's from Israel. It's a bug detector. And I actually, when I go to motels, if I'm going to stay in a motel, I take this device around all the different outlets and all the way through there, and it has 2 different types of settings on there, and you can check for hidden cameras and transmitter devices. And so I actually scan it. I actually got 2 separate units, not just this one here, but I will literally go through and do a security check on that room because of all the things that I've heard, the nightmare stories about how people, you can't even stay in a doggone motel room without somebody spying on you. You can buy these devices out there on the market.
I know. I'm laughing because I could just picture the scene. I mean, it's insane, you know. I mean, we have the thing about the drones gets me, you know. Now they have like these tiny little bot drones.
Yeah.
You know.
And they got HD cameras in them.
Yeah. Plus they have weapons in them now.
Yeah, I saw that video where that dude
mannequin. Yeah, that was creepy, and the whole audience just sat there and applauded because that mannequin got blown apart by this little teeny bot drone, and everybody thought in the audience that was just super duper wonderful. And I'm watching this video and I'm like, I'm appalled, and I'm saying, well, is there something wrong with me?
If it's so super duper wonderful, I wonder how they would feel on the other end of that bot if they made the government mad for some reason.
Well, there you go. But the people don't go that far. The people just believe in the authorities, and they're stuck in that, you know, they're stuck in that zone. Yeah, they're going to watch over us. They're going to take care of us. They're protecting us. You know, all the lies. So they believe in it. And, you know, then you have all these technologies, waves of technologies, where they are spying on us, controlling us, mind control, purchase controls, consumer controls, health I mean, everything. You know, it's pretty amazing to me what we're seeing happening. And, you know, we're always talking about the zombie apocalypse, you know, and I think definitely we see that. What is that? The zombie apocalypse. Well, the zombie apocalypse is like the Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's like the people. How many of those people, the supposed shooters that been in all these different deals, how many of them actually come out and told people they heard voices in their heads, and so they thought God was talking to them or something, you know?
Well, it's not just the shooters. It's people who are doing really horrible stuff, too. They're saying, well, I heard this voice in my head, and I think it was that, I don't know which one it was. It doesn't matter which one it was. One said they heard this voice in their head saying over and over again, kill, kill, kill. What is that, folks? I mean, we have to pay attention to what these people say who wind up doing such horrific things. You have to kind of take seriously what that person says, you know, that, yeah, people say, well, they're crazy or they're insane. Is that true? I mean, is that so? How can you be sure? You know, because it's kind of like a pattern we're seeing here. You know, we have to pay attention to patterns of people's behaviors, and that's something that I've been looking at for a while, you know.
I'm looking at, I'm trying to find it. There was a doggone sign that we talked about a while back that actually transmitted a signal. And you could hear it. They did this during some sort of sci-fi promotion deal where people would walk past this sign and they would hear, you know, voices in their head. No, but there wasn't no audio. They weren't hearing it through their ears. And so, you know, of course, creeped a lot of people out, but I haven't been able to find the name of that sign ever since. But they were using it for some sort of, what's the one, like Ghost Hunters or something like that? Paranormal. There was a paranormal deal that they were trying to, promote or whatever. And so they had this billboard set up outside, and as people walked past it, they would actually hear this doggone billboard, but they look around, there wasn't nobody there talking, didn't hear nothing at their ears, but they could hear, you know, these sounds. You know, and so you have to wonder, if that kind of disappeared off of the scenes there for a while, what other kind of purposes could that actual technology be used for? You maybe whispering in somebody's ear, kill, 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 or something like that? You see what I'm saying?
I do. Am I on?
Yeah, you're still here.
I am. I thought I muted myself. Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know how many people are concerned about this. I mean, I think your average population probably is not very concerned. You know, I mean, again, I think people are still, they want things easy, you know. They want their life to be easy, no problem, they don't want to deal with anything. So basically that's what they're being told, you know, like these people who are getting chipped. They are happy because they say, oh, I don't have to carry a wallet or a pocketbook around with me, and I can get into these buildings, and I can get into these super clubs, that elite clubs, if I'm chipped. And this, to me, is crazy. I don't know. Again, there's something wrong with me that I find that really bizarre and scary, that people would do something like that, put this foreign thing in their body. And, you know, you have to go further with this. So who would want to have control over your chip, the chip in your body? What eventually do you think it will be used for? I think it is about controlling. I think it is about tracking and controlling. And who knows what they can do with those chips. These are little computer things, right?
Well, this is Paranormal State Ad Billboard Makes You Hear Voices. The outdoor billboard that displays an ad paranormal state as you walk by, the sound of woman's voices whispers, who's that, you know? And you you don't hear it with your ears. That's not how it works. It's sending out a sonic wave out there, and you hear it with your head. think about it. You got water in your brain. All you got to do is be able to vibrate that water, and your brain's going to be able to pick it up.
Well, you got water in your whole body, and I often wonder, what's going on. But what we're looking at here is a new age of warfare, and people, I think, maybe need to take that seriously. It's like, these are called internet mercenaries. You know, what they are doing is they're working for the authoritarian governments. So that means that you'd have to consider that our governments are authoritarian. Well, is that a big leap for people? It may be, you know.
The technology is created by Holosonic. The device is effectively an audio spotlight that can project sound literally right in your ears. So maybe it works a little different, like your ear canal. You know, you got liquid inside your ear canal that helps you keep your equilibrium.
Yeah.
And so they would project it in like that. But they have a creepy voice, and people look around, to see who said that, and there's nothing there.
And nobody's there.
Yeah, so imagine if you've got somebody who's, not everybody can be hypnotized. But if you got somebody who's susceptible to hypnotism, you could hypnotize them. You got to actually believe it's actually possible to be hypnotized to begin with. But if your mind is any kind of rejecting of it, they can't hypnotize you. So there's certain folks that just can't be hypnotized. But if somebody's susceptible to hearing sounds in their head like that, and they think it's some sort of higher power saying, go out there and kill these folks. You know, you're gonna be saving the planet or something like that. You see where I'm going with that?
Well, don't you think that the military, those people, young people that go into the military, it's some form of hypnotism, or brainwashing, or breaking down the, a person so that they can create them again the way they want them in the image they want them to be, or to do, basically to do what they want them to do. That's been going on for how long?
Well, for a long time. And you're right, because their task is to break you down mentally and emotionally, and then start to build you back up into a soldier the way that they want you to be. I tell you that it works, and I'll tell you how I know it works, because long after I got out of the military, I got up exactly on time every time without no alarm clock. Every 5 o'clock in the morning, I was hitting the deck. I was up. And I didn't have to be up. And even on weekends, I was up. And to this very day, still have that, in my brain,
Right.
So.
Right. Well, you know what? I was curious, just wondering how many people can actually be hypnotized. And there's a lot of links that come up here, and I haven't gotten into it yet. But one link says, science confirms the obvious. Not everyone can be hypnotized. Now, I question that. As soon as some science authority comes up and says, oh, no, don't have to worry, not everybody can be hypnotized, that makes me very skeptical. I'm just saying.
Well, that's the word out there, that not everybody can be hypnotized, but that doesn't mean the word's right, because, every time you got to test the knowledge that comes after. Anytime somebody tells you anything, you better check it, verify it, double, twice, triple, whatever. I mean, we live in a weird world right now. I mean, on one sense of the deal, it is kind of exciting, the world that we live in. But on the other sense, it's kind of disturbing and scary at the same time. There's all kinds of things that technology could be misused for. There's all a lot of good things that technology could be used for. The good people of the world use it to learn and share information, and the nefarious ones use it to either sell you something or spy on you or try to build some sort of case against you or whatever. Man, I tell you what, you realize how many people's been busted because of Facebook for things that they've done that they were stupid enough to upload to Facebook? They go out and do something like steal a political sign, and it's on video on Facebook, and how are they going to lie out of it now?
Well, you know what I mean? Here's something interesting. So it seems that people who are easily hypnotized tend to lose track of time. In other words, they're getting lost in a movie or a book or lost in the day or whatever.
Yeah.
They're the kind of people who can be hypnotized, But they don't really know. How can you discern? You know, there's so many people. But they're doing these studies, you know. Why are they doing these studies? I always ask that, too. But I think that more people are easily hypnotized because we're having it right in front of our face. You're not going to some show where the audience is there and they pull up somebody from the audience. I mean, this stuff is in our face every day. Advertisements and hidden subliminal messages and, you know, mainstream media. I mean, we have this constantly in our face, telling us things, pushing things upon us, repetitive information. That's a form of hypnotizing someone, you know. I mean, you have the video games, you know, the rapid movement of these video games, violent games. You have many of these people, these shooters, for instance, or these people that go just, you know, off track from, I don't know, reality or something and do horrible things, talk about, well, even their history. You know, it's always, well, it's interesting to me when something occurs where somebody goes out and massacres people. There's also information that pops up immediately on those people about their childhood, right?
Yep.
You know, like their childhood. Well, they were the loner. They were the outsider, or they were picked upon, or they were different. Plus, they were obsessed with violence. They were obsessed with guns. They were obsessed with violent videos. I mean, this is like across the board. We see this obsession with things. You know?
Well, do you know what sodium thiopental is?
Is that in our fluoride?
sodium pentothal is pentothal, basically aka is known as truth serum.
Truth serum. I was going to say, well, it could be in the air, could be in the water, I don't know.
Well, it has multiple uses. They even give it to people who's fixing to get a lethal injection or whatever, but if they want to, like, lessen somebody's resolve to fight against them and get the truth out of them, They in the old days could use that, but now they could actually use things like hypnosis or whatever to to try to do the same exact thing. The government's always looking for ways to get inside your head to find out whether or not they can build a case against you or whatever, you know. And so these are just some of the tools of the trade. Now imagine if you've got this doggone technology that you can actually transmit things in somebody's head. Guy's sitting in a room all by himself, and his voice starts talking to him, and he starts talking back to the voice, you know, well, who is this, you know? Yeah, I did it, but I ain't going to tell them I did it. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at this article. It says this is the good news is that most people can be hypnotized. This is good news, this article says. Yeah, okay, so we're talking about consent and belief, okay? Now, just looking at this, you're in a situation where you're in that audience, for instance, and the hypnotist, you know, hypnotist on the stage calls up people. Well, it says here basically two factors, you know. They're easier to hypnotize because they basically stood up and got on the stage. So right away, they want to be hypnotized, or they want to prove that, well, you can't hypnotize me. All right? So we're talking consent and belief in that circumstance, believing that there is such a thing as hypnotizing, right?
Yep.
So if you look at society today, what are we consenting to? And what are we believing in? Okay, I'm not talking about hypnosis. I'm talking about what in general is in our face every day. What is our political people telling us? What is the government telling us? Okay, what is the media telling us? What are the advertisers telling us? You know, I was talking about this advertisement where there was this beautiful kitchen, updated beautiful kitchen, and this mother and daughter were there talking and laughing, and, oh, everything was really, like, really looking good, you know? And so running along the bottom was this information, this thread of information about, you know, the woman, the mother, whatever her name was never, was miserable. She was depressed. She was suicidal. She was feeling down. She couldn't get it together. She was angry. She was off the charts. And so what you're seeing here with the mother and daughter having a happy time, and it's all lovey-dovey and joyous, and the kitchen is sparkling clean and beautiful, Well, guess what they're advertising? Pills for depression.
Yeah. Did you know that when you go to a store, that stores have actually did research on how to sell more products to you? Like, if you ever go to Walmart and you look how Walmart's actually set up with, if you want to go to, say, like over to the electronics department, you got to make the way through this maze. Well, that because they know that some people are impulse shoppers, they put things that are impulse items, that, you know, flashy packages or something really cool, or, you know, a sale, or even to the extent of using the 99.9 cents or something like that. You know, so you're only saving a penny off the dollar or something like that, but because it says 99 cents, it seems like a bargain, right? Well, that's why I call the everything a dollar store, the $50 store, because you ain't getting out of there for less than 50 bucks if you take your lady with you, I'll tell you that. It's only a dollar, yeah, times 50. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. If you've got somebody, like I got a relative of mine that, I mean, this lady, she'll blow your doors off if you go to the grocery store, because she's, like, really into shopping. I mean, watching her go from one place to the next is like watching a high-speed camera, you know, in time-lapse or something. And she just, oh, I might need some of these, I might need some of those. And I'm like, boy, I feel bad for my brother. He's going to be broke.
Right.
You know, some people are really susceptible.
Well, what they say, don't go to the grocery store if you're hungry.
Yeah, especially in the snack section.
That's for sure. Your mouth starts watering as soon as you go down those aisles, and you're throwing all kinds of stuff in your basket that you'd probably never eat.
Oh, yeah, there's a reason why they give out those free samples in the section with the, you know, all the different snacks and stuff like that. Yeah, give you a taste of this, boy. It's like the drug dealer, you know, he gives you a little bit, and then that's cool, and that was good. You got to go get you some more, and next time, well, you know, I'll give the first two to you for free, but you got to start paying now. You know, and then the price goes up and up, so that's how they get you in there. And you think they don't do that with technology as well?
Yeah, there's all kinds of, it's psychological warfare. I mean, color comes into play here, words, everything, the way the presentation, it's all psychological warfare. And I think the issue is that people can't imagine this is real, you know. I mean, you need to sell a product, so you're going to do research. You're going to have a bunch of people sitting around a desk, you know, a think tank, and say, well, how can we sell this crappy product? How can we sell this product that's going to kill, butterflies and bees and so on? How can we sell this product? We got to make it really sound good. We have to make it so people will want this, will pay a lot of money for this and continually do it. How can we do that?
I would put a wager down right now that if somebody was a good entrepreneur, a good salesman, not personally, I couldn't sell anything, but if somebody was a good salesman, I would put a wager. If you went out and bought your own plastic bottles and had your own printed labels, you could put something crazy like toilet water on that bottle and sell it as a novelty, and I bet you would sell the heck out of them.
Well, there was such a thing as toilet water that was sold years ago in my grandma's time.
Yeah, but it was perfume.
It wasn't real toilet water, but it was called toilet water.
Yeah.
And people bought it. Who would want to buy toilet water? I mean, with a title like that, right? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but imagine that, though. You see some of the crazy things that they sell people these days? They got toys. They got a poop emoji toy that they sell. And I'm like, why would you buy that for your child?
Well, that's the craziness. This is what we're talking about. The people are just going along. The advertising, the brainwashing is really pushing them to do these crazy things. Something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. It's hilarious. Ooh-hoo-ha. Hey, you want a bottle of toilet water? And it might really have toilet water in there. But people have that.
You know, years ago, I don't know if you remember this, one of them, I guess, well, when they started selling bottled water, you know, I don't know even when that began. When did they start selling bottled water with these fancy names? This bottled water comes from a spring somewhere in the Pyrenees Mountains in France, and it's pristine and sparkly, and it's pure,
yeah.
And it's bottled up and with this fancy bottle and this fancy label. Well, Then there was this other, I can't remember which one it was, I should probably Google it, which bottled water was coming out of a tap in New Jersey, of all places. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. And see, if you tried that at home, you could actually get you some plastic bottles, and you could put a label on there that quite literally said tap water. Alright? And I would bet money that anybody would buy that doggone thing, even though it says tap water right on it. You could, if it cost you like, maybe your average water bill, depending on how much water you use, might be $60 a month if you got a large family or something like that. And so if it cost you $60 a month for thousands of gallons of water, and then you turned around and sold each one of these little bottles of water for a buck a piece, heck, you could make a profit off your water fountain in there.
Well, I think it was Nestle. Oh, I'm not surprised. Nestle sued for falsely advertising. It was Poland spring water. Poland.
Well, Nestle was also the one selling water out of, I think it was the Great Lakes, that they sold out for a dollar to China, that China could fill up these bags, huge bags, and they would float them across the ocean over there to go fill up their aquifers. Did you ever read that article?
Yeah.
So the Great Lakes started getting lower and lower, and people started complaining, what's going on? But they had bought the water from Nestle. Now, is that a conspiracy theory, or did they really do that?
I have no idea. I mean, we feel conspiracy theories are being proven recently as true and right. You know,
they're coming true at such an alarming rate that there's a lot more people waking up to, hey, wait a second. You know, all those got crazy folks that are not so crazy after all. I mean, the government said they weren't spraying stuff. They said, oh, you're just a tinfoil hat. Then they come out and say, well, we got to do this because, you know, whatever. I don't understand the mentality of people. I would say if there was something on there and it was questionable, that maybe you ought to personally look into it to find out for sure whether or not it's real. You know what I mean?
Right.
But most folks...
Well, the thing that amazes me is the ability of people like Poland Spring and various other things, and, well, you know, in even our government and Monsanto and whomever you want to say, you know, that are poisoning us and harming us and the earth and so on, their ability they have to lie and manipulate, because it's just about money. They don't care about people's lives, you know?
Yep.
They don't care if your children are being poisoned. Like you said, various other of these techno people, they cover their computers because they know the spying is occurring. So they cover their computers so they're not spied upon. They're not telling the public, oh, don't, you know. They're not warning people. Cover your computer. Cover your this. Cover your that.
Well,
who cares? They don't care. As long as they're safe, as long as they're fine, they're not going to drink the water. That's how I feel. They're doing whatever they can to protect their own, and they don't care what happens to the rest of the population.
Well, there's a guy out there named T. Boone Pickens. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was like,
oh, I did.
He was all like up into the oil business, but then he found out that you know, water was really profitable because you could sell it for a dollar a bottle when you could actually get it for free out of the ground if you own the land.
Yeah.
So he called it the next blue gold or whatever. He called it blue gold and, you know, made a lot of money off of that particular deal. But they wanted to privatize water to the extent that, you know, if you own up all these water aquifers, somebody's got a well, they can't just drain water out of that well, even though it's on theirs, because they own the aquifer underneath there. Think about that. You have to pay for water off of your own land. And that's why a lot of these people, if they buy property, they better be reading what they're buying, because there's this thing called mineral rights, And if they reserve the mineral rights, they'll sell you land, but they reserve the mineral rights. And so if you find gold or oil on that thing, guess who owns it? It ain't you. It ain't like the Beverly Hillbillies dream story where he strikes it rich because he had oil on his property. But that's just a tiny example of why you should read the terms of services on whatever contract you may decide to sign. There's some contracts you don't even have to sign. You just don't complain about it, and so by implied consent, you agree that it's all right. What do you think of that? Yeah, look, did I agree to be looked at by cameras everywhere I go? No, I didn't agree. But they'll say, well, you're out there in public, you don't have no expectations of privacy if everybody can see you, so it's okay, we can watch you wherever you go. But where's the line? Where's the line drawn? You know? You go on a private camping trip, hanging out with your family and all that, you want somebody watching your every move and trying to decide whether or not they need to send you a text to say, looks like you're almost out of chips. Hey, why don't you come buy some? You see what I mean? Ain't that crazy?
Yeah, but I'm laughing because there's too many crazy things. You know, you got to laugh, I guess, after a while. You know, it's like, it's kind of, I'm not saying that I'm not looking at it like it's crazy and it's affecting people's lives, you know, but it's just seemingly every day you say, can it get any worse? And then it's like, yes,
well,
it is.
You gotta laugh. You can't help but laugh. You have to laugh in the face of adversity because this information is so incredibly overwhelming. If you can't look and find some sort of humor, even though it's not really funny, this will drive you off the wall, off the edge, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think you have to, we talk about people waking up, we talk about people getting smart, we talk about people, you know, getting wise, becoming wiser, you know, wiser, and I think this is the big, this is the gap in what I understand is that what we're talking about, and we're just touching a tiny piece here of this stuff, the big gap is that people, in my estimation, cannot find it comprehensible that others, you know, would do such things. That there is this level where people are using and basically affecting our lives and the lives of our children, and they don't care as long as they rake in the money.
Yep, that's it.
You know, you have to sit down and you have to get real that this is stuff that is happening on many levels in our lives. I mean, you have rugs brought into your house that basically are treated with poisonous stuff. You have your clothes that are treated with whatever poisonous stuff. You have the food that is sprayed. You have, you know, the air. You have all this stuff. Well, what are you supposed to do? The best thing to do is just ignore it all and live your life in joy and happiness. You know, it's like, be ignorant.
Yeah.
Oh, what else can you do? You know, there are things we know that we can do, but I think it's just about being aware, not to be driven crazy, not to become terrified, or feel like you're hopeless.
Well,
that it's happening.
If you got an entrepreneurial deal, you could actually make money off of stupid people by, you know, like if they're going to go play Pokemon Go anyway, you could build a proximity sensor, you know, like the old curb finders on the Cadillac so you don't get too close to the curb and slap your tires. Well, you could build a belt with curb finders on it, and if somebody gets too close to a light pole because they're too busy playing Pokemon Go, they won't face plant, so it's like a safety device. Or if you're getting ready to walk off a cliff or something like that, when it detects you're not, you're close to some dip in the ground, it'll wake you up. Hey, stop playing Pokemon Go. You're about to walk off the cliff, fool.
Well, they didn't add that into that game. They should have added that, right?
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't. That's depopulation plan. Yeah.
You know, the thing I feel, it's like those people, those people who are doing things like that, I think those are the population that can be hypnotized easily. Yep. You know, I mean, so, and they're certainly not comprehending any possibility that someone might be wanting to do harm or wanting to affect the population, that it's falling off of cliffs and falling through manholes and down stairways or off the, you know, towers when they're taking their selfies or doing Pokemon, whatever Pokemon Go, is that what it is?
Yeah, you want to hear something crazy? Not only was that game a game for the people, but that was a game for the people who wanted to actually do like Google does and map out the city. Map out your house. Right now, as many years as this has been going on, that's why GPS is getting better and better by the day. There was a time when GPS wasn't really super accurate. It was close, but it wasn't really super accurate. But now, everywhere you go in your car, that car knows where you've been. It maps out the roads. It maps out all the alternative paths. And so, basically, you can get on Google Earth and you can look up street level views of everything under the sun. Now, of course, they blot out the people so that they don't have to pay any royalties for these people being in there. But if you look hard enough, you'll actually find people in there that they missed or whatever. But if you go to try to Google up a really high dollar fenced in high society $500,000 and above dollar housing edition, you will not be able to see anything but a CGI. So the elitist out there, they're protected. They don't have Google coming through their streets and videotaping everything down to where, like, if I want to see your house, all I got to do is type in your address and I can see what kind of house you live in, whether or not your yard's trashed or whatever. Ain't that creepy? Anybody can see your house. Street level. Unless you're rich.
Well, here's another creepy thing. I know I talked about this a while back, but I'm revisiting it now because I just mentioned the zombie apocalypse. You know, remember this was a lot in the news a while back, right? Not that long ago. So now this is actually the Department of Defense put out this preparation for a zombie apocalypse. The U.S. government is actually preparing the Department of Defense versus the Walking Dead. Okay? Yep. So, listen, this article says the United States may have one of the largest armies on Earth, but even the Pentagon is taking no chances at being caught off guard by an unusual foe. And in 2011, the U.S. Department of Defense released a strategy to combat a potential zombie apocalypse. Now, yeah, people might think this is fictional, but the military took it seriously. In fact, the first line of the counter-zombie dominance plan, or it's called Con Plan 888811, says this plan was not actually designed as a joke.
Well, I'm trying to find it.
I'll give it to you here. It's, I find this very, very fascinating because not only the Pentagon, but the CDC... had put out a how to survive during a zombie apocalypse.
Okay, now let me read this to you real quick. This is going to blow your doors off. All right? Zombie apocalypse. Think about this for a second. And what exactly is a zombie? Well, it could be disease, could be, you know, some sort of deal that makes people lose their doggone mind, which wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility with geoengineering. But here's a real deal. A fair amount of research has taken place on Toxoplasma gondii, the bizarre parasite that makes mice unafraid of cats. And the latest chapter in The Strange One, the parasite is found in as many as one-third to a half of humans and is present in the brain and has been linked to suicide attempts. Toxoplasma gondii. It's a parasite that cats can carry around in their urine.
Yeah.
And this right here the mice will literally walk right up to a cat.
Oh, yeah.
They're not afraid of them. So it's like, you know, kill yourself. This doggone parasite in your brain is like, kill yourself, you know. Well, what's that doing to people? If people are subjectable. You see
what
I mean?
This is, the con plan, the Pentagon's con plan 888811 laid out a 31-page strategy in three parts. First, create and uphold a defensive plan to protect humankind from mind-munching predators. Mind-munching predators? This is for real, folks. Second, establish procedures to eradicate any threat of zombies. Third, restore law and order to a war-ridden economy. Okay, now the zombies themselves are classified into eight categories, ranging from your run-of-the-mill undead, created through bacteria and pathogens in the air, and evil magic zombies created by a mystic, an unknown source, to vegetarian zombies who eat herbaceous foods to satiate their unending craving for grains. Of these eight categories, only one is based in reality. The potential threat of chicken zombies originated with a 2006 incident in Petaluma, California, when the unsuccessful euthanizing of poultry using carbon monoxide resulted in haunted hens crawling out of the piles of their slain sisters and walking around until their bodies died of internal organ failure. Leaving no stone unturned, Con Plan 888-11 also includes the possible legal ramifications of attacking zombies. Uh-oh, politically incorrect.
Yeah, you're going to have to be nice to zombies. Or you're a
As it turns out.
Or you're a zombophobe.
There's actually laws prohibiting military violence, both domestically and internationally, are only geared towards human and animal life. So in the case of an invading horde of unknown pathogenic beings, zombies seem to be fair game. You know, the Pentagon isn't the only government department to use zombies as a learning tool. Yeah, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has played off the popularity of The Walking Dead and other zombie-related cultural phenomenon, releasing the Zombie Preparedness Plan. They have a Zombie Preparedness Plan, folks. This is real. The Pentagon actually went so far. So, what do you think on this? This is interesting. Is it like Jericho? Jericho tells us that something's what's going to happen.
Well,
is this what we're looking at?
I tell you, right now, if you're not being vigilant about what's going on around you, you're going to get caught unaware. I suggest that people go watch the video, Jericho, because when you see how that actually played out and all the parallels to what's actually going on, and actually look at the date of the series itself, and then look at modern day news and match them up. It's going to be shocking. I mean, the things that went on in that video series, outside of the simple part, how people were treating each other, you know, average citizens were battling for whatever, you know, and you could see it. You can look over in different countries right now that are going through some, Venezuela's going through a hard time, and I think New Zealand's having a few problems as well. There's other places out there things are going on. But the characters in the movie and the characters that were supposedly the ones that were the bad guys, it turned out that the ones who actually did it were the supposed good guys that came in to rush to save the day. So take it how you want. Don't be paranoid about it, but at least be aware or check out the parallels. It'll blow your doors off. But these doggone zombies, man, I live next to a cemetery. I hope it ain't like the Day of the Living Dead.
Well, I have to say, I think it's almost like people are becoming zombified and, you know, not like the skin is falling off of them and they have no eyeballs and stuff, but it's almost like this, to me, is becoming a zombified population.
Oh, you see that in the political scene. The red versus the blue team. don't matter. It's like if it's a red team or the blue team. If you're just like, I'm on the red team, so I'm voting red. I'm on the blue team, so I'm voting blue. And you're not paying attention to any of what these candidates that you're actually voting for and stuff, then you might as well be a zombie because you're just doing what, you know, you're supposed to be doing. That's it.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's like people, there's no, like, critical thinking. It's like they have a dead brain or something, or, you know, it's, again, it's the mind control. It's the imprint, the continual repetitive information that people sit and watch daily over and over and over again, you know. The same thing, the repetitive mockingbird system of telling you this and telling you that, what they want you to believe in, what they want you to focus on, what they don't want you to focus on, and people just sit there and get mesmerized. It's hypnotic, you know. That's the form of hypnosis that we're talking about, and also, you know, going further, a form of brainwashing where there is no critical thinking. They just get up and do what, you know, what they're basically told to do. Well, I'm aligned with the red party, I'm aligned with the blue party, you know, that's sort of like, well, mom and dad were in the red party, mom and dad were in the blue party, grandma and grandpa, so I'll just do the same thing, you know.
You know, it's just kind of crazy because even in the world of how, like, nowadays there's some states that are get passing these laws that if your neighbor thinks that you're unsafe that they can call you in and they will come and they will confiscate any firearms because your neighbor has this concern that you might be dangerous or something like that. You might just have a nutcase neighbor who just don't like you.
Isn't that the say something, see something billboards that we see all over?
Yeah, that's a form of zombification there, you know, to the extent where, you know, you're told you got to have security because the world's so dangerous, and so you're willing to give up to the government and just repeat anything that you hear. And that's why I stress all the time about all these different news media outlets that you can tell who has been watching which channel by the things that are coming out of their mouth. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's a telltale sign. You know, and when their words are just like the media's words, like you could swap channels on certain channels and they will be saying the exact same thing, maybe just slightly different in the wording, but the exact same thing on all the news media simultaneously, and then you will have somebody come out there and repeat that on a social media network as it was truth.
Well, even people you're talking to, you know, there's no proof. There's just the rhetoric that they're listening to, and they repeat it exactly. That's the mockingbird syndrome. So they don't do any research on what they're being shown or told on the mainstream media. They don't do any research. They just take it as fact. But there's no proof or no facts. There's just this rhetoric. And they just repeat it, and then the other person repeats it, and that's, there you have the mockingbird syndrome. I mean, I've seen people post certain things on Facebook, and I'll post an opposing piece that tells a different perspective. Now, we have to look at all perspectives. We just don't take one perspective as factual, and, you know, I mean, we have to do some research. There are often other perspectives. A different opposing perspective or a different information. So I think it's very important for people to do that, you know. And people don't say, well, what's your source? What's the source of that information? Well, the source of that information was Joe Blow on NBC or CNN or ABC or CD, whatever. Oh, well, so-and-so said it, you know. Well, what was his source? Well, I don't know. I don't know what his source was. He just told me he's the authority. They're the authorities on these medias.
Bingo.
Those are the authorities that people believe in.
Bingo. And that's why I tell everybody, look, okay, I get the fact that there's certain books out there more despised than others, and their deal is that it was written by man, so it is corruptible. Okay, I get that. All right, well, along with every other bit of information and every other book out there, if any one book is questionable, all books should be questionable. If any one bit of information is questionable, all information should be questionable. That's why people have to be discerning in the information that they're hearing. Otherwise, you're going to be hiding under your bed in case the aliens climb through your window, or the vampire comes in to get you, or the werewolf, or the zombies, or the terrorist behind the bush can see you through the window. You're going to live your life in extreme and utter paranoia. I've been down that road. I went down the rabbit hole so bad back during Bill and Clinton impeachment trials that when I started listening to guys like Alex Jones and other alternative media, they had me believing that the secret societies and the world was coming to get me and my family, and they were going to drag us off to FEMA camps. Was that a possibility? Sure it is. Has it happened in history? Sure it has. But, you know, to the extent where it's happening to me and us right now, I didn't know. And because I didn't know, I was so incredibly paranoid that I was like literally gearing up for battle. I was getting prepper supplies and everything. You should be prepared for emergencies. But to take it to the extent where I was going, I mean, I was looking over my shoulder everywhere I went. I was dressed like I was ready for war because I felt like I was in the middle of that war. You see what I'm saying? Now, If somebody, I'm not saying I'm the smartest man on the world, but my intelligence level is pretty high. But if I can be manipulated like that, you see what I mean? Imagine somebody who ain't really that bright and hearing the same deal. They done freaked out. And then somebody hears voices in their head. You think they're not going to go crazy? You see what I'm trying to point out here? Did I lose you? I think your microphone must be muted. Anyway, all I'm saying to everybody is you've got to be like really on your toes when you're looking out there in this digital cyberspace that some of us call the rabbit hole or whatever. And whenever these, you come past all these cameras and all this technology out there, you need to be aware. You seriously need to be aware. I mean, there might come a day where if you say the wrong word in your own personal house, the next thing you know, you get a knock at the door. Hey, you know, we heard what you said. Really? What happened to my right to privacy? Well, you have no right to privacy. You done signed that away when you bought this TV. It sounds so crazy. I'll tell you, this is insane. It's like George Orwell's 1984 on crack. Man. Anybody still with me? Yeah. Oh, I guess. I see what's going on. Never mind. Alright, so look, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Alright, there's some interesting things going on out here in this world. And the technologies that we have access, sure, they're cool. But I'm thinking you might just want to keep an eye out on it. I posted some video links inside the chat room over there. And, you know, I was going to play both podcasts, but I figured, you know, heck, we got this covered. They're spying on you. It's a hostile takeover of freedom and privacy. And it ain't no joke. I mean, go out there and take a peek. Look around. You might be surprised what you come up with. You can't even say certain things because there's government programs out there like PRISM that and Buzzword and stuff like that. They listen to what you're saying on there. They're listening on your phone and they're tracking you with the GPS. You're helping Google map the world with your cell phone. And every time you look up a place over there, you'll find out how accurate this thing is. You can get a satellite view of your own place. Try it out. Google up your address. Look at the satellite view. Zoom down to your house. Now, obviously, Google doesn't go down into the super zoom section. But if the Google has the possibility to get the quality of graphics from satellite imagery, or whatever, actually they actually have a plane that flies over with cameras and they map out things. You can go to your local courthouse up there to the county clerk's office, and you can get a aerial view of your house with the property lines drawn on the doggone thing. And, you know, there's private pilots that go out there and fly over everything and take pictures all day long. And so while Google's out there mapping the streets and you're helping to map the streets, you're building the accuracy, and the AIs are getting better and better, and they're being able to sell you things, you go and you tell somebody in your house, you know what, I might want to buy me one of those Pokemon dolls. And the next thing you know, you turn on the TV and there's an advertisement for a Pokemon doll. Does that sound a little weird to you? Or you get on the internet and search for something, and next thing you know, your TV's just showing you something that you just looked for, trying to sell it to you, or vice versa. Now, I suppose for convenience sake, it's kind of neat that you could get things shown to you that you're interested in. But for privacy's sake, I'm not so sure it's a good deal. We talked about some technology, some drone technology, that was not only able to see you, but it was able to fire upon you, and people were clapping about it. Woo-hoo! That's cool! Really? Not so cool. What if those little bugs were flying at you? What if you said something that your government didn't appreciate, and your government decided they need to rub you out? Man, I need to have a no-fly zone over my house. Literally. You know, is there any way that we can get a no-fly zone, Barbara?
Hey, I'm back.
Yeah, you missed my message, and I missed your message.
I guess I did.
My turn.
I had to step out of it. A no-fly zone, you know, I don't know. I'm in the fly zone. Well, I'm in the fly zone of nature because this is the way all the birds return, which is pretty awesome when you see it. But no fly zone. I don't know what's going to be happening here coming up, you know, in this coming year, next year, a couple years from now. Where are we heading, I guess?
It ought to be exciting. I'm leaving you the microphone for a minute.
Oh, goody.
Yay.
All right, well, again, I just want to say I'm glad to be here. Thanking everybody in the peopleforpeople.ning.com. And I guess there's the round table. There's other links. Welcome, everybody. I didn't actually start out that way when I came on. We just started hitting. We hit the ground running, talking about the being spied on, how we're all being spied on, you know, and that whole billboard thing about see something, say something, somebody told me about that in our area here in the Hudson Valley, and I was like, really? I couldn't believe it. So that tells you, I guess, you have permission. If you see something that, you know, that your neighbor, like Shaziz said, if your neighbor is acting kind of strange, report them. But what does that mean? Strange. You know, or a person's doing whatever's and you feel it's kind of like threatening to you. I think there was an incident where a woman, I don't know whether she was around her house or apartment building, and some guy was there. He happened to live in that apartment, but he was a person of color. And that's another issue. More and more people are saying, what are you doing here? Because, well, they're a person of color. And the person that lives in this apartment building, a fancy place or at a pool, says, well, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. When, in fact, that person does live there and is, you know, that is their home. Oh, I see. Okay, wait, I see you guys. Let me see if I can add you in. We got some people coming in. How do I do it? Again, I'm like in this state where I don't know what to do here to get you guys in. My sister Patty and Barry, yay. they want to come in. We've been yakking and yakking here. I'm waiting on you. I don't know. I need guidance. Shaziz, where are you? Knights of the Round Table. I'm looking up the top. There's a phone up here. It says audio call, but I don't know if that's going to get you guys in or not. I have no idea. There he comes. I hear the door opening.
You
I
know
hear
something?
His footsteps. There you are.
Some of those doggone insects might be looking at you as a lunch partner. Some of them might be looking at you as lunch, and others might be looking at you with a nifty little camera.
Yeah, but listen, we have Sis and Barry want to come in. You want to bring him in?
Yeah, we can do that. Woohoo.
Yeah, well, you can do that. I can't.
All right, let's get this going on.
All right. Let's get it on.
So they're going to look at you like you're lunch, or they're going to look at you like you're a lunch partner, or they're going to look at you with an HD camera. So what are we going to do about that? Get a big old giant leopard bug zapper, fly swatter, and slap them out
well,
of the sky?
Well, you better, if you think that's a cute little butterfly over there, it could be one of those spy machines, because that's what they're doing. Little bugs and beetles and bees, a little spy machines, you know. I don't know. Where are we going? I just keep asking that question. Where are we heading?
Well, I don't want everybody to run around through life being all paranoid and everything. Just want you to be on the alert because, you know, if this conversation kind of started out... could you mute your mic for a second, Barry?
Shut the mic off. Hello?
Hey!
Barry!
Whoa. Thank you! Love you! All right,
he must be on a plane. Sounds like he's flying a plane.
Yeah, he's got the AC or the jet engine going. Anyway, this conversation started yesterday when I tried to log into my Weebly account. Well, suddenly I got my computer telling me that I have to log in with either Facebook or Google, or both. And so I actually had to... basically forced me into logging into my Weebly account with Google and Facebook. I didn't sign up for that particular service through Google or Facebook. But if you look at it, Google's going out there and attaching itself to every single thing under the sun. You know? And so, every bit of information that you got going on is part of the storage there, so to speak. You can go to, let's see what website this is. Hold on. I'm going to start to play an ad. How to download a copy of everything Google knows about you. I think I posted that link into the chat room. And basically, it shows you how to download everything that Google knows about you, as well as download everything Facebook knows about you. That's kind of disturbing, don't you folks think?
Well, yeah. Is Patty on? Is Barry?
Yeah, Patty's on.
Yeah, I'm here. Barry, you're on the wrong side of the Skype. They've switched sides of the Skype text chat, so it's on the left-hand side.
Okay, is this better? Is the airplane on?
No.
Well, I don't know where
you're
coming from.
It's better.
I live in the bush, so there's no airplanes around here.
All right, must be your air conditioner or your heater or something. Your wind
tunnel. And actually, there's nothing going on in my house except for me.
Oh, you just got a really powerful microphone, then. All right, so have you heard anything we've been saying there, Barry?
Just I was trying to get in on it.
All right, well, basically, I started this show off talking to everybody about... Let me scroll up here so I can read the actual title out again. Explanation points. A hostile takeover of freedom and privacy. The world that we live in today. And even we got into the zombie apocalypse and Toxoplasma gondii, which is a parasite where mice will literally walk up and commit suicide to cats. That kind of deal. We live in a strange world, Barry.
Are you hearing me? Because it's telling me my microphone.
Yeah, we hear
you. We talked about the smartphones, the smart meters, the smart TVs, the smart cards, the smart whatevers, and all of them spying on us. Smart. They're real smart.
Nah, they're not paying attention to us, man. You guys are all conspiracy nuts, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You've been listening too much Alex Jones. No, actually.
Well, we lose Barry? He just disappeared.
They were listening.
They're spying on him.
Down Canada done blocked Barry out. I'll drag him back in. Let's try it again. But anyway, how you doing there, Patty?
I'm doing. Yeah, I remember having this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that the first sign that you should have that somebody wants to know what you're doing is when they tell you that you can no longer sign into your account unless you use their sign-in methods.
Yeah.
You cannot use the old sign-in methods. That gives you a big flag. And it's happened, I think, to all of us.
Yeah.
And Barry's back.
And not one, but both of them. What happened, Barry?
Skype's been doing this to me a lot lately, cutting in and out of me, and I was on a radio show actually yesterday, and they cut out on me, so I don't know what's going on with Skype, but...
I don't know, call really up the stable, Prime Minister and tell him to get his finger off the button.
Well, actually, you know, it's been doing this for a while. We've got to find another platform. We do.
Yeah.
Seems like we're having constant problems, but we all know where that's coming from right now.
Well, folks...
Yeah, we live in the same world as it is. I really do. I can't believe some of the things I see going on, but then... Well, it's what we've got to expect, because they're just going to ramp this up. It's going to get to a point, basically, where everything we do in life, even if we take a breath of air, is going to be monitored by the government. So,
well, your answer earlier... Your answer earlier, Barry, I was about to say you're a good little zombie, because that answer you gave was pretty good for zombification. It's like you said that, they'd never do that. You're just an Alex Jones conspiracy theorist, and that is like what they put out there to... They use Alex Jones. Any, connection to Alex Jones is that you're a nutcase, and when in reality... He was talking about things years ago that he said was coming down the pipe, and everybody thought he was nuts, and here we are talking about what just fell out of the pipe.
Well, love him or hate him, Alex Jones has provided me with lots of information over the last 5 years that I have found very credible. So I listen to everybody talk, and I never rule out anybody's opinion. And sure, there's lots of negativity about Alex Jones, but I found a lot of truth in what he has said to me, or what I've heard from him. So we have to listen to everybody's opinion, because there's always going to be a little bit of disinformation out there. But really, like you said, Shaziz, stuff that Jones was talking about 15 years ago is now coming to fruition.
Yeah.
So the guy really had his finger on the pulse on a lot of issues.
Well, yesterday I was forced. I mean forced. I tried every workaround possible. I used to have a workaround so that whenever they tried to get me to log in via Facebook or Google into my Weebly account, because those three aren't connected. I pay Weebly for their own. I pay Weebly for their service. I'm not paying Weebly to have Google's input into the business that I'm doing with Weebly. But I was forced to sign in through there, because there was no other way to get there unless I signed in with Facebook and Google. Well, I got four separate computers going on right now. Each one of them have their own specific operating system. Some are newer than others. And every single one of these computers are now connected through Google. So anything that I put on these computers, anything that I do with these computers... Google knows about it, Facebook knows about it, Twitter knows about it, and you all know about it because I'm talking to you right now. So it's like, that's why I put on there on Shaziz.net top secret, because I don't want you to tell anybody about it, because everything that we're talking about right now is just between you and I, right?
Yeah, there's no connection.
Yeah.
Did you sign up for this? Did you sign up for all these connections between your computers there, Shaziz?
No, they just... Gradually, incrementally, connected every one of these computers on my own home network, synchronized them all, so I could use one password on one of them, and I can go over on the other without even signing in, fired up, and I'm right there with the last video that I was looking at. It's insane. And I know maybe some people might not think, but I tell you what, every time I say it, I prove it. You know? And this is a real deal. But I feel like that at some point, if Google ever decides or Facebook ever decides that they don't like Shaziz Radio anymore, you already see it. If you go up to your web browser, it says not secure. And it says it on People for People Radio Network. And so what we need to do is we all need to get together and form a class action lawsuit against these companies for not only monopolizing, you know, the internet, but basically slandering our services by saying we're not secure. There's nothing wrong with my website. There's nothing wrong with People for People. But if you're just a new listener and you want to come over and see the website and suddenly you see that not secure, you're hesitant to go in there. So you can see why our traffic doesn't match our listenership, which is, you know, it's disturbing. You know, you see what I mean?
Now, wait a minute. Now, listen. If you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't be worried about it, right?
All right.
You've got nothing to hide. Huh. I mean, let them in your email. Let them in your website. Let them in your text, you know, and your calls and stuff. I mean, what's it going to hurt? I mean, it's not like you're doing anything illegal, right?
Well,
at least not yet.
If I am doing something illegal, I'm probably by far the stupidest man who ever walked the face of the earth, because I invite the CIA and the NSA and all the alphabet soups and everybody to come here and listen in. You know, we know
well,
how to
the
get
thing of it is, yeah, but the thing of it is that, you know, when you live in an Orwellian state, then sooner or later, you are going to break the law, because the laws will continue to be constrictive. The laws will continue to be invasive. The thought police, you know, 1984, did you see the movie?
Yeah.
You know? It shows you. It doesn't matter, you know, the people who tell me all the time, you know, well, I don't do anything to have to worry about. How do you know? They just haven't gotten around to you yet. Do you think that they will ever stop and say, okay, we've constricted the people's movement and their speech enough. We'll let them go ahead and no. Because when you have a government that is tyrannical and is paranoid, like all these governments are, all the surveillance that's going on, they don't stop. They continue going. They take complete control.
Well,
it never stops.
On that, what you were saying about, you know, how far they will actually go, I'm seeing a trend that, you know, where you started talking off, you got to go walk through a metal detector. And maybe next thing you know, the TSA is frisking you down. Then you got to go through a naked body scanner. At some point in time, are the airports and the bus stations and the train depots going to turn into quite literally nudist colonies? Because we got to make sure ain't nobody packing nothing they ain't supposed to be.
Well, I think that they'll roll out that social credit system way before then, and you won't be able to get on a train anyway. The majority of the people will fail the social credit score because they will not be in a position to exercise the rights that the elite will have. And there will be an elite, and there will be those that are not elite. If you don't believe that, look at what's happening in China, where a man who used to be a columnist and did a column way back when, 20-something years ago, which was considered political or whatever, is on this credit score system in China. Now he can't buy a home. Now he can't send his son to college.
What a mess.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't fly. And the reason I don't fly is simple. I don't feel like I need to go to the airport and have some man grope me before I go in there. All right, now, okay, maybe you throw some hot babes in the mix and they're going to be groping me instead. I might change my mind a little bit, but nonetheless, it's still... You see what I'm saying? I'm a rotten individual because I don't want to fly because I don't want some dude groping me at the airport. It's disgusting.
I saw a video that made me sick to my stomach. Well, I'm sure there's many, but this little boy, he must have been about 10 or 11, and he was standing there with his arms out and his legs splayed, and this creepy TS, whatever they are, TSA guy was groping him and going up and down his body, his legs, in between his legs, on his arms. I mean, it was on and on and on. It was like, I mean, and nobody steps in and says, hey, you know, enough already. The kid has a t-shirt on and a pair of pants. He has no bombs in his underwear. And, I mean, it was just disgusting.
Yeah, I saw the same video. I was so mad when I saw that. I mean, it's... Look, we've taken this terrorist thing to, I say we because we're tolerating it, we've taken it to such an extreme level that you can't go to the doggone airport without potentially, if you say or do the wrong thing, you get pulled off the side and get an extra screening. You know?
Carted away to the private room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but I really just noticed how there was a video on the subway in the city here, well, down in New York, where this elderly woman, she's 70-something, sitting in the corner, and this young guy, I think he's in his 30s, came up and started punching her and kicking her in the head, and people were standing around taking a video of this. I mean, they did find the guy, thanks to the videos and all that, and they did arrest him, but he was working in a restaurant in the kitchen area, I guess, but it was shocking to see this, and nobody said anything. Nobody did anything, and I guess, I don't know, maybe, yeah, that's kind of intimidating. I don't know if I myself, as a woman, you know, would step in and wade into that, you know.
But well, I'll tell you, Barb, if I'd have been there, there would have been a fight, man. I can't believe that people watched that lady get assaulted by this guy, and they didn't step in. I saw the video.
Oh my God.
And where are the men with testicles?
I guarantee.
What's going on here?
Barry, yeah. If you and I were together, there would have been a kung fu scene going on. You and me would have been taking that dude to the back of the woodshed and then some.
Well, there would be no hesitation in me. I would instantly step into a situation. That win, lose, or draw, I'm going to step in because I wouldn't tolerate that. And the fact that people tolerate that is showing you just how far our society has gone down the rabbit hole, down the tubes.
There's another aspect
man,
to it.
Man, that
is,
just brought me to rage to see that.
There's another.
It was heartbreaking to see that.
Emotion.
Yeah, I guess one woman filming it, she got out, excuse me, that was it, to the guy, you know. But I'm in a way, so there's the controversy, of course, about people saying the same thing. What's wrong with people? They're just standing there filming it. And then other people say, well, if they didn't film it, the police wouldn't have been able to identify him. And that's all true, but that's just one small incident where you see people just standing around doing nothing or allowing that little boy to get, you know,
yeah, but there is one other aspect to this thing that we also need to put there on the table is the actual fear factor of getting involved, not just for personal safety reasons, but for legal reasons. Like if you see a police officer, he's plain and simple, he's violating his oath and he's beating the heck out of somebody, and you as a citizen, if you step in, you might be charged as well. They might turn their aggressions on you as well. And there's a lot of people that won't take and step out of their comfort zone to stand up for what's right. And therein is the zombie that we talked about. You know, you standing by. I did a video a long time ago. If you ever want to hear me getting riled up, I did a video and I called it, excuse my French, but I called it Shaziz is Pissed. And I was, because I was watching this video taken over in China where this guy was stepping on the hand of a baby and he was kicking him around and there was a crowd of people standing around and not one person stepped in there to protect this child. Nobody pushed the guy away or anything. Somebody was still standing there videotaping it. Not only would have been all over that guy, but I would have been all over every single other person that stood idly by and didn't do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely triggered me, man. I can't believe that people would sit and watch that go down. I know I wouldn't be able to, so I can't speak for other people, but it really shocked me that that was allowed to go on and nobody in that car stopped them from doing that.
We've seen civilizations. We've seen various things like this going on in other countries in the past where people stand by and just watch someone, you know, beating somebody up or blowing them away with a gun. We've seen this over and over and over again in different countries. And now, you know, now we have it here in this country, too, and it seems to be escalating. Where people are just in this zone, they're just stuck, they're zombified, and they can't function, they can't think critically, they can't act, they can't see right from wrong, they're just standing there like, I don't know, with their jaws dropped, you know, unable to move, unable to do something right.
I just read a report of IQ levels in the States and actual surveys that are done on people in the streets in the United States of America, and simple questions that should be able to be answered by any American. I'm looking at numbers of, you know, 25-30% of the people actually were able to answer the question. Yeah, it should be a question that everybody should be able to answer. Just gives you an example of how dumbed down society has become. And you know, when we talk about that, guys, we talk about something that has been going on for years. If you think that mind control is not real, then you are under mind control right now. Simple as that. It's taken years to get society to where we are. It didn't happen overnight, but it's an accumulation of multiple things that they have implemented in our society. Our food, our air, everything about what they're doing to the human body destroys the brain, destroys our health. Everything that they're doing is designed to bring society to a situation where we're so weak, so confused, so scrambled, that we can't identify right from wrong, or good from bad.
That's
where we find ourselves right now.
Yep, there's a deal out there. This is just one of many versions of the same thing, but I want to read it out. It said, first they came for the Jews. First they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me.
So true.
Yeah.
Really well said, that statement. I read that many times. She says,
and just
think about it.
If you really sit there and think about that, and we're always talking about, are you going to stand up for your neighbor, if they come for your neighbor, or what? You know, and that's a conversation we just got to having about the old lady getting beat up, nobody stepping in, or the child being abused and nobody stepping in. You know, it's happening to all of us right now, as we speak. We're being spied on. All right. Now, some of us, maybe most of us, didn't read the terms of services close enough. And I don't know whether or not there's an option to opt out of all that. Is there some sort of magic button that you can push that says, I no longer give consent for you to do anything under the sun to me without my express, written, and notarized permission? Is there? Because if there is, I haven't heard about it yet. The government didn't ask me to spray stuff in the air. They didn't ask me to modify anything. They didn't ask me to go to war. They didn't ask me for any of this stuff. They didn't ask me whether or not they could look inside my home or listen to my family. They didn't ask me. They just did it. And if I didn't complain about it, it's like there's this deal where if you're like a small town council or whatever, and you pass some sort of you know, legislation or law or what else they call them, I can't remember right now. But if you pass this deal, you have to put it in the newspaper to public notice for a certain period of time. Like if you're going to confiscate somebody's property under the Oh, what the heck they call that one? I can't remember that one either. It's for the better of the community or something like that. Eminent domain. So if you're going to use eminent domain against somebody, you got to advertise it out there to the public. So what they will do, if they don't want nobody in their local community protesting about it, they'll find some little tiny newspaper somewhere out there in public in the same state, and they will put a little ad at the very bottom of this thing, a little tiny one, saying that they're getting ready to do this. And if nobody calls in and complains about it, it's implied consent. And implied consent also works in the law enforcement agency as well. You got to be really super careful about what you say to a lawman these days. And especially when you go to court, you got to know the terminology. If you don't, that's why you have to hire an attorney, because the attorney knows the tricks of the trade. If he's a good attorney, most of them just get by the skin of their pants or whatever, and they're not really good attorneys, but they are, you know, licensed to go into court and talk to the judge. But, you know, that's the world we live in. If you're filthy, stinking rich, you can get by with a lot of stuff because you got a good attorney who can twist those terminologies around to make you look less guilty or not guilty altogether. You see what I mean? That's how I got out of jury duty. Because I went to the jury duty deal, and the prosecuting attorney said, could you find this person, if we found beyond a reasonable doubt that this person was guilty, could you come back with a guilty plea? And I looked him right dead in the eyes, and I looked the judge right dead in the eyes, and I said, Your Honor, I said, I have developed a skepticism against the executive branch of government, so it would have to be evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt before I could come back with a guilty plea. I was sitting next to 40 police officers when I said that. You should have seen the jaws drop. You should have heard the gas. And one guy in the back of the courtroom busted out laughing because he knew the executive branch of government was the law enforcement. And so he knew exactly what I said. The judge knew what I said. And she almost hit her jaw on the table by the shock of what came out of my mouth. Yeah, I don't trust the police is what I just told him. Needless to say, I didn't have jury duty.
It's funny, the biggest news article we've seen on TV in the last week is the world's in mourning over these 40 Muslims that were killed in New Zealand. Yet, you know, I've read 5 or 6 reports of Christian slaughter that have been perpetrated on Christians around the world in the last 4 months that we never hear a peep out of on mainstream media. Why is that, guys?
Well, I don't know, but Patty said it yesterday in a conversation we had. We're living in the last days. Anybody can deny that? I'd like to hear it, because there's a lot of prophecies from a lot of different cultures that have been basically saying exactly what we're watching unfold before our very eyes. If you look and listen to what Paul Harvey said in 1965, I'm thinking that dude might have had an inside scoop. Maybe he saw it all, because he played it out just like it is. So now we're sitting around talking about getting spied on. Huh?
Well, he definitely had some incredible insight in where it came from. I think we both know where that came from, Shaziz. But that being said, the Bible refers to persecution and Christian slaughter in 4 different situations in the Bible. It refers to it very, very specifically about an event that's going to point to this particular time in history where we see an accumulation of incredible amounts of events happening around the world that all are prophesied, all seem to be coming to a point.
So
to say that there's nothing there, I think you have to have your eyes closed.
Yeah, so here's the deal. So now that we know that we're actually being spied upon, and it's like it's not hidden anymore, it's like right out there and open. I mean, they'll tell you they're listening in. But now that we know that all these things are going on and the possibilities of a zombie apocalypse that the doggone military's planning for and all that kind of stuff, what is our game plan? What's our solution to this deal? The first solution that I think is probably really important is our communications to one another, because of what's going on with this doggone internet. We really kind of seriously need to decide on whether or not we want to build our own line of communications outside of that system, because I'm telling you folks, One of these days, this internet's going to go down. When it goes down, when it comes back up, it's not going to be the same internet. I guarantee you that. It's going to be clean. It's going to be squeaky clean. And it's going to have a deal where you want to get on the internet, you put in your special little number. And that special little number is going to tell you that you're qualified to get on there. But you better mind your P's and Q's when you're on there. You better not say the wrong thing. Otherwise, you'll get a screen pop up say, "This is the FBI. You're under arrest. Stay right where you are." Does that sound like it's science fiction? Mark my words, it's coming.
It's coming. Just like Patty said earlier, you know, everything we see now is another intrusion in our privacy and into our freedoms. And it's under the disguise of this security. I mean, 9/11 was the absolute biggest false flag ever pulled on the human race. And here we are, what, 18 years, almost 18 years later, and we still haven't had the truth revealed. On the bright side of that, I do follow Richard Gage, and I communicate with him quite regularly. And, you know, the families and Richard Gage and a group of lawyers now have filed a lawsuit against the FBI, and this will be heard in front of Congress. They are still, after 18 years, making big waves, and I think, you know what, eventually the truth will be revealed. It says in the Bible, guys, you know, in the last days that all will be revealed, and what is hidden will be revealed. And we see that now. We see people now really starting to wake up to the absolute corruption in our government, the elite, what their plans are for the human race. We see a mass awakening, and that all plays into what I see as the end times. Patty, you're correct. We are in the end times right now. I absolutely believe that. I don't have a timetable. Nobody does. But we are seeing an incredible amount of events happen. We talk about all things that are going on in the world right now. Geological, we talk about storms like we've never ever seen before in human history. We're seeing hurricanes and cyclones. We're seeing volcanoes become active that have been dormant for hundreds of years, and they are incredibly accelerating in their activity. We see an incredible increase in earthquake activity. We see all these things playing out in front of us right now, and it's going to come to a point. Nobody has a timetable, but I believe that we're going to see some crazy stuff go on the earth in the next couple of years.
Well, you're
so
probably
I'm preparing myself
probably
for that.
More than likely right, but how are we going to protect one another? I got a lot of people in this People for People radio and in this chat room here and in ShazizRadio.com over there. I got a lot of people that I love and care for. I don't want anything to happen to them. How am I going to help to keep them safe or keep them informed? You know, we've got to figure out some sort of line of communications so that if the internet ever goes down, you know, that at that point in the game, it's almost too late to try to start building something. You see what I mean?
Yeah, the window's going to close soon. I honestly believe that, she does.
I keep telling everybody, download everything you can get, every how-to you can find, you know, and print it out, put it on flash drive, put it on CD-ROM, because the day that the internet goes down, and I believe it's getting close, I believe that there's going to come a day that it's going to go down. And the moment it comes back up, it's not going to be the same one. It ain't going to be nothing like what you see now. You will log in with that specific number. The same, see, it just like the Social Security number. That when that came out, people were concerned about it because of the mark of the beast and government spying and such. And they said, well, this will never be used for identical purposes. This is just to track your retirement benefits. Well, it turns out now that your Social Security number is connected to your driver's license. It's connected to your school history. It's connected to your criminal history record. It's connected to everything from your financial to you name it. Now, if that ain't disturbing, and now you got to sign into Google and you got to sign into Facebook just to get into another company that you paid for a service. I didn't contract with Google for Weebly. I didn't contract with Facebook for Weebly. They forced me to use those particular platforms in order to get on to a service that I paid for out of my own pocket. Now they're trying to say People for People Radio Network's not secure. They're trying to say Shaziz Radio's not secure. You see what's going on here? If you're the average Joe, would you come visit my site? We would, because we know. But if you're told that terrorism is behind every bush and that they, oh, these guys talk like Alex Jones, well, you don't want to go over there because they're crazy. Really? Patty, you crazy?
You bet I am.
We're a Looney Tune, Patty.
If the world is sane, then I am definitely insane. Yes, yes.
That's why we're all together.
Yes,
yep, and I'm proud of it.
We're on the insanity ship here, folks. Welcome on board.
My dad used to say, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah, my dad, you know, my dad said, he used to say all the time, great minds think alike, eh?
Yep.
That was one of his favorite statements. It still resonates with me today because we're all here and I think we're all great minds and we're all thinking alike. Well, maybe you guys are great minds. I'm just a little voice in the background, an old bald-headed fart up here in northern British Columbia that's trying to make common sense of what I see going on in this world, and I see none. Absolutely none. Anyways, on False Flag in New Zealand, Barb, I had Vinny Eastwood. Like him or not, he is the number one listen-to guy in New Zealand right now, and he's got a huge audience. He did two or three real major breakdowns on New Zealand's False Flag. So if you really want to find out, he did an interview with Clyde Lewis there about 10 days ago or 8 days ago about that. And I urge you guys to listen to that video because he really puts out some incredible information about how all was played out. It was definitely a false flag. We see the New Zealand Prime Minister come out within hours announcing a ban on all guns in New Zealand. Now they're bringing that through. If you can't see the connections, folks, then you're blind. Blind.
Well, I tell you what, I need to laugh in the face of adversity because this is all getting sane. So later on this afternoon when I'm walking past my toaster or in my boxer shorts, I'm going to strike a pose just in case y'all get to see me. You know, with the government leaked documents. You know what I mean? I might as well. Man, what's the government want to see me in my shorts for? Nasty people. I'm an old dude. Leave me alone.
What was that movie? They had the movie where they had total surveillance and the guys were, the movie starts out. Is that the one where they're looking at the woman in her shower and coming out of the shower and dressing in the, they're supposed to be surveilling somebody else, but they've got all these cameras in all of these homes and everywhere, and instead they're getting their jollies by, looking at these women,
well,
and then they get in trouble for it.
You hit the nail right on the head, Patty. We don't know who these government agents are. Maybe they like to see old Shaziz in his boxer shorts.
Maybe they sell those videos on the black market.
On the dark web.
You might be famous, you don't even know it.
I bet you see my SpongeBob boxer shorts over there in the doggone dark web. Man.
Yeah, they got videos of Barbara and Patty doing it, and they're selling them on the internet, too.
I doubt that.
I don't think they get much money. Frankly. I don't know. That's scary.
Well, you know, there's some pretty weird people in the world, so...
Well, that's true. There are. I hope I don't meet them.
They could be walking amongst you, Barbara, and you wouldn't know it.
Well, it's just the point of the whole thing, you know. We have some expectation of privacy and freedom. I mean, those were, you know, given to us by God, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you can expect it. That doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Well, yeah, because Barbara was talking earlier about, the insects and bugs flying around out there, and I said, you sure about, you know, that they ain't got, like, one of them's there for lunch, looking at you like you are lunch, and one of them's there to be your lunch partner, and the other one's there with an HD camera. So, I'm going to be out there with my microscope, my magnifying glass, and look at all these bugs to see if they're mic'd.
Just get bug spray, and whichever one doesn't fall down when you spray it, that's the controlled one.
Well, I do got that electric bug zapper fly swatter that I put four extra 500-volt capacitors on. Yeah, I can send them bugs into the next dimension with that one.
Well, if they don't die with that, then run.
Yeah, that was a really telling. It was a TED Talk, I think it was, where the guy had this little miniature drone, and it sat in the palm of his hand, and it was autonomous. I mean, he could give it signals, you know, but it maintained its own flight. It actually moved in evasive manners on its own so that it would look more like something natural. And when it was programmed with the identification of a specific person, it went out, found that specific person, and flew directly toward it and had explosive device in it, and went straight to the head and killed the individual. Of course, it was a dummy on stage,
yeah.
But the people loved it. They clapped and they cheered, and that was one of the scariest things that I had ever seen, that the people themselves were cheering. You know, that could be you. You know the old adage, there but for the grace of God go I?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we need to apply that nowadays.
Well,
because we look
that.
At these things and we see them as something that's separate from us. Oh, well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not a danger to the state whatever.
These are against the enemy, they're told. So, and who's going to be the enemy? The enemy could be you, stupid. I mean,
who's
the designated target?
Sooner or later, if you don't comply, it will be you.
Not only that, but the doggone, I keep coming back to what Bill Gates was saying about vaccines. You know, he's talking about the population problem. If we do a good job with vaccines, we can get that under control. And I'm like, these people are clapping because he just said that. And I'm like, what the? Did he?
Well, he was talking about the CO2 problem and global warming.
Yeah.
And he mentioned there were some problems. And within those problems happened to be population. And so he did say during his talk, well, something's got to go. And everybody in the audience laughed. The word population was up there amongst other issues that they say are causing global warming. And the people thought that was funny. Yeah, some of the population has to go.
And if we do a really good job, and he mentioned with vaccines, and What else was it? Fertility or something?
Say that, yes.
Yes.
Birth control.
Yes. That we can cut the population in half, you know? Or
and
whatever.
Everybody clapped.
Yeah.
And the audience applauded. This is the
complacency. They're saying the Georgia Guidestones, they want to get us down to 500 million people, so that means a lot of us got to go. You know, the scary thing about this technology we talked about, we've said this before, that what we're seeing now being revealed in technology is a fraction of what they actually possess, that they're way ahead of what they're allowing us to know. So we take that into consideration. We see some of these new toys and gadgets coming out that could actually designate the human race at the click of a switch. How much do they actually possess that's ahead of them that they're not telling us about? That's what kind of...
Well, it gets worse because you know for a fact that all of us are on the list.
Yep. If we're not on the list, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Speaking of on the list, we've actually been joined by Ted. How you doing, Ted? You know you're on the list just for showing up, right? Mr. Ted, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry I stepped out of the room. I didn't know you were going to holler at me. What'd you say?
I said you know you're on the list just for showing up, right?
Bubby, I don't even know about that. You know, the list, if there is a list, I've been on it since probably about 1998 when I started searching stuff on WebCrawler.
Well, there you go. See, that's what you get going down the rabbit hole. Better be a good citizen and not look at things that you're not supposed to look at.
You know, in 1998, that was all that was on the internet was fun stuff. There was nothing serious.
Yeah, the internet sure has changed, has it? Now it's all dramatic and drastic.
It's really dramatic now. Yeah. So dramatic.
Well, right now we're talking about they're spying on you. It's a hostile takeover of freedom and privacy. And we've listed out multiple things, with everything from closed circuit TV cameras to the cameras in your house, microphones in your TV, and so on down the line. And the crazy thing about it is, even if we tell somebody about it, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, you've been listening to Alex Jones, but the company themselves will tell you that they got it in there.
Oh, yeah. Alex Jones has been saying that for like 10 years, 12 years, maybe longer. And yeah, he's been right the whole time. My dad told me about it. He's like, oh, son, he's like, the TV's gone to digital. He's like, that's so they can upload your information.
Yeah.
It used to be all download. Now it's upload. You see? You understand? I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's like, it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I feel like everything works out in my favor because I'm walking with God. It's like, they made this huge system apparatus to, like, search and spy on us. And guess what? There ain't nobody doing anything wrong. It's going to be used to bring them down themselves. Watch and wait.
That's good. Right? That'll backfire on them. That's a good deal there.
Damn, you're darn right.
Look, whenever you guys get the leaked photos from the government of old Shaziz and his SpongeBob boxers, I'm going to be striking a pose because I'm going right in front of the toaster as soon as we get off air. Your appliances are telling you, you got to go to the grocery store. You need to buy more healthy food.
Huh. Well, you don't have to go that far, Shaziz. Just stand up in front of your computer.
Yeah. My SpongeBob boxers and my muscular. I make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a big dude, man. You know what I'm saying? He does. He looks huge next to me. I'm skinny. I'm 6'2 and probably weigh 150 pounds. I look like the one of the Walking Dead they warned you about. All right? But I don't need anybody's brains. I got my own. I got enough problems. Oh, man. Well, don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I wouldn't want anybody to chip a tooth.
Well, I'd like to take this point, since we got a little bit left, to point out that there is a cure for this, but it is going to take every ounce of courage that we have and commitment toward our own and others' personal freedoms. We can't look at the world as being separate anymore. We can't look at the guy down the street as not being our relation, because sooner or later, it doesn't matter. You look at the other guy and you say, well, that guy deserved it. You know, he was doing this or he was doing that. He knew the law. They told him and he did it anyway, so he got what he deserved. And we look at these things and we see ourselves as separate from these actions that are being taken against us. But it's not. We're all in this together. And we're being played so well. And we like to think, being who we are, that we're on the right side. But if we've chosen a side that doesn't include an all-inclusiveness and compassion, if we don't stand together, then we're part of the problem. And we're allowing it. What do they say? What you allow will continue. So we've got to stop looking at things as if it's their problem, not mine. I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm not going to get involved. Because you will do something wrong. You look at the laws that have been put upon us since 9/11. You look at the people who have been arrested for nonviolent crimes. They weren't doing anything wrong, you know. A guy had a problem paying a medical bill. He didn't have the money, so he didn't pay it. That was 22 years ago, and they came after him and arrested him and put him in jail because he didn't have the money to pay an electric bill. Do you think that's not going to come to you sooner or later? When we look at China and we see this rollout of these social credit systems, and we see the globalists wanting to adopt this, then think about yourself and where you're going to be in this global credit system. So if we don't stand together for us, for each other, then we're all going to fall into this morass of control. We've got to stand together and stop throwing stones at each other. It's got to stop. We've got to stop looking at each other and seeing us separate, like that person's problem is his, not mine. You know, when we see, like the woman, the elder, who was beaten on the bus, and the person was with the camera, somebody said, well, if she wasn't filming, then they wouldn't. How many people were on that bus? Were they all filming? Was it important for them all to film? This is what's happening to us. We're getting to a point to where we don't see each other as valid anymore. And that's to our own demise.
Well, it gets worse than that. There's a website out there. I'll post the link. It talks about 8 ways we regularly commit felonies without realizing it. And there's a book out there that's called 3 Felonies Per Day. That just check it out. But some of the examples, I'll just read one of the examples right here. Well, maybe I might read a couple of them, but one of them is that you flush your sister's marijuana down the toilet. You share a bathroom with your sister and you find her stash of illegal weed. You don't want her to get into trouble, so you flush it down the toilet. Little did you know she was under a police investigation for possession of marijuana that begins days earlier. Thus, you have committed obstruction of justice, a criminal offense that involves interference through words or actions with the proper operations of the court. So you just got yourself in trouble. And one of them talks about, like, you get lost in the woods. Did you know you could get do a felony by getting lost in the woods? Here's an example. You decide to take your motorbike for a ride in the woods along the marked path where it is permitted. You didn't realize that the massive blizzard was coming, and by the time that there is a layer of snow covering the ground, you lost your tracks of the path. And an officer finds you and charges you with having your motorbike in an area where it is not allowed because you unknowingly, without intent, have violated the Wilderness Act, which seeks to protect federally designated areas of the wilderness, partly by prohibiting motor vehicles. So you just committed a felony, and there you go. There's so many different laws on the books right now, and they say their fallback is, ignorance is no excuse to the law. So if you just because you don't know that a law exists, like as Kansas City still has a historical law on there that says it's illegal for you to drive a motor vehicle from the one side of Kansas City through Kansas City. You have to shut your vehicle off at the city limits, have a horse or a mule team pull your vehicle across to the other side, and then start it back up, or you're breaking the law. Is that crazy? Criminals? Even the cops are criminals. Everybody's breaking that law. You realize how much traffic is in Kansas City?
No, it is.
Yeah.
That leads me to the understanding that, when you get summoned to jury duty, you gotta go, bro.
Yeah.
Like, people are trying to get out of that, and it's like the most horrible thing you can do. Because that's what you're talking about, is like all this stuff, but where does that take you? That takes you to a courtroom. Then you get to ask, do you want a jury of your peers to convict you of that? And then if these people are like, this is ridiculous, they're like, they're not going to do it. You see what I mean?
Yep.
That's why you got to go to your jury duty things. If you get it in the mail, you don't come up with your excuse. You go because you want you on that jury. Trust me.
Yeah, well, I'd like to be on the jury, but I'm not going to lie to them in order to be on the jury. When they ask me whether or not I can come back with a reasonable doubt and find somebody guilty, my life is in that person. Their life is in my hands at that point when I say yes. And so I flat out tell them, because I don't trust the executive branch of government, that, I've developed a skepticism against the executive branch of government. So it's going to have to be beyond a shadow of a doubt evidence. They're going to have to prove to me irrefutably before I will put somebody else's life in danger or their freedom.
Barbara, where did you get that list of people on sealed indictments? Just reading that.
Actually, Stefan popped it in yesterday into the People for People roundtable.
You know where his source came from?
I don't.
Well, I'm glad to see that Justin Trudeau made the list.
Yeah, I was quite surprised, actually.
he's involved in this up to his eyeballs. There's lots.
Yeah, I was surprised. I could ask him, Stefan, where he got it.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I'd like to follow that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting link.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not the guns that are the issue. The people in this country have had the right to bear arms since it was formed. And since the Civil War, there hasn't been an uprising. All of these things that we see with these mass shootings have been orchestrated since 9/11. So we got to think about this logically. If people are shooting people with guns, it's the people doing it. Where are the laws that say murder is murder? Oh, we got them. We got them. How many gun laws have prevented this? None. You have Chicago. The most restrictive gun laws in the nation is the highest crime area.
Yep.
So what does that tell you? It's not the guns. Because if you take guns away, those who mean to do harm will get guns. It doesn't matter how you think they got them. They will get them.
What, it's you mean the criminals aren't going to follow the new laws, Patty? Come on.
No, they won't. They never have. And so if we're going to be smart about this, you know, if we're going to be smart about this, then we've got to start going back to the basic laws. We don't need degrees of laws. If you murder someone, you murdered them. It doesn't matter why you murdered them. You murdered them. So you should be held accountable for murder. If you rape someone, it doesn't matter your excuse for raping that person. There are no degrees. You raped that person. You should be held accountable for rape. You know? I'm reading the chat. Ann James is in there. It makes me laugh when Americans pretend there aren't restrictions on guns there. They change from state to state. Of course they do, because that's the state's prerogative to do that. It's not the federal government's prerogative to step on your rights. And the Second Amendment is very clear. You know? Here's the thing.
Legislators in New York State.
Right. There's enough history out there that if you pay attention, you see what happens when the people are disarmed. And that's not the problem. The problem is a system that is out of control. The problem is a system that is not broken. It's actually working the way it was intended. And I'm coming from a view, you know, I'm more of a voluntarist and anarchist. I always will be. The least amount of government to me is the best possible solution to a free people. No, it's not. The federal government doesn't have the right to step into the states. That's part of the Constitution. You know, the Bill of Rights says, I have a right to bear arms. It doesn't say, but the government can restrict me whenever they feel like it. So no, the government doesn't have the right, the federal government doesn't have the right to step on my rights because they think they do. Just saying.
You know, that resonates real hard with me, Patty, because it's very interesting that so many people feel that, like, gun rights are under attack in this country, and maybe they're correct. But where I live in West Virginia, it's like, we just only, like, I think 3 years ago, legalized it so everyone can carry a concealed weapon. Anybody can carry a pistol concealed, no permit needed anymore. And,
same thing with Oklahoma and Missouri. Did you see the laws that they're getting ready to pass in Missouri?
It's and those states have the lowest crime rates in the United States of America. Go look at the facts.
Right now, my legislature in West Virginia is getting ready to make it so that people can carry their guns into the schools with them. They can carry their guns into universities and places where they've traditionally been in this state. They didn't want people carrying guns. Now they see the need. Well, people should be able to carry guns in schools to protect themselves. You see what I mean?
Well, absolutely. You've got some
that's what's going on today.
What are you going to do?
You know, what makes the news is these people in these other states, oh, New Zealand is going to ban guns. Oh, this is going to ban guns, whatever. Like, New Zealand's gun laws have always been extremely tight already. So the fact that they're banning guns is just like another little thread to them, because their laws were tight. And it's like, I don't know if it's just in my inherent nature to try to find the good in life, but I just see, like, the things we want are happening. They're just not gathering any attention. So anything that we want is going on at any place on earth somewhere. It's just, it's not getting attention. It's not newsworthy. It's the only thing that's newsworthy is all the attacks on our freedoms, not when, like, people are pushing for them. And it's kind of a shame, but there's no real media outlet for that kind of stuff. There's not a media outlet that goes and says, like, look at these people, what they're doing good. Look where they're protecting. Look what they're doing. Look where somebody did save or divert a pipeline, or, you know, as a township that said, we don't want fracking in this town. Like, there's no attention to that at all.
Well, there is here in People for People Radio Network, because we always put the solutions on the table, and the mere fact that you was able to tell us that your state actually defended your gun rights, and the Missouri and the different places that have, we point that stuff out, because, you know, people got to know that there's solutions. People got to know that there's good things going on in this world. Because otherwise, this whole mess that we've been talking about, you know, we've had a few laughs about how they spy on you, but, you know, the only ones that can stop that is us. And unless you're informed to even know that they're doing that, or maybe you just don't care, but if you don't care, then it's no reason to worry about it. But personally, I don't want people listening in on my private conversations. Not that I'm going to say anything that I wouldn't say to anybody in person, but it's just the mere fact that your home is supposed to be your sanctuary, you know, your place of peace. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. And I feel if somebody's, I mean, you're broadcasting on airwaves with your cell phone. If somebody's going to intercept that, they're going to intercept it. But the fact that they put in where you buy it from, like AT&T, they're going to set up a system just to listen on you at a principle, I think that is kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, because everything is free. Data will always be free. It travels the airwaves, it travels the lines. It's encrypted, but it's always free, and anybody can always access it. But it's just a shame when you see overtly, like, people coming out and be like, we are gonna listen to everything you say, we are gonna record it, and that's just it. And it's just like, you know, well, that's to me, that sucks.
Well,
and, like, I don't like...
Like I said...
Well, here's another thing to consider, too. Okay, you want to know what the biggest killer in the U.S. is? The pharmaceutical industry. More people die from the drugs produced by Big Pharma than people... with guns. Also, next to that is malpractice by the doctors.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
The medical industry.
I've watched people die when I knew for a fact that there were cures available, and I actually put information on the table for the doctor to go look at. But because it wasn't standard protocol or anything like that, they didn't want to look at the information that I presented, even though it was peer-reviewed and used in a couple other states. This could have actually saved one particular individual that I was close to, but that doctor flat-out refused to look at it. Instead, they butchered
him. Yeah. Well, this is where we are. Where's the concern... And the regulation and the laws being put on these doctors and these pharmaceutical companies. When you see a pharmaceutical ad on TV, they tell you how good this drug is and what it's going to do for you within the first 30 seconds, and then they spend the next 2 minutes telling you how it's going to kill you or maim you or cause organ failure.
Yeah.
You know, this is legal.
Oh, yeah. It's encouraged.
Nobody's doing anything about that. Why is that?
Well, I'm trying like heck to put the messages out. Every time I do some serious research, like the hyperbaric oxygen treatment, there's all kinds of different types of oxygen treatments. There's all kinds of different natural medicines. Oxygen's one of the best. But, you know, you would think that these doctors, since they signed this oath that to do no harm, that they would put every option available, including alternative medicine, on the table for their patient to have every possible, you know, chance to get healed. And every time I see one of these doggone commercials about kids with their hair missing because they've been through chemotherapy and all miserable, and somebody wanting me to send money to find a cure for cancer, I get irate, because oxygen treatment has been proven to cure cancer. It's been proven to cure diabetic ulcers. And yet, not one TV ad is saying, well, look, there's a cure out there, but we just can't afford it. There's a cure in Canada, but we can't get it here because of red tape. There's a cure in Mexico, but we can't use it here because of red tape. See, that's the hypocrisy right there.
How many times have we heard vaccines are safe? Vaccines are safe. We absolutely, vaccines are safe. But why is there a vaccine
warning label that says it's going to make you sick?
Vaccine Injury Compensation Board has, since 2008, paid out $6 billion in settlements to vaccine-injured people, but it comes with a gag order. But all you hear about vaccines is they're safe, they're safe, they're safe.
Yep.
When people get paid out by the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board, they have a gag order attached to their payout. So you're not hearing about it, but all these people are being paid out for injuries caused by vaccines. It's a price of doing business.
Well, let me tell you.
Every vaccine is sold. You know, let me just finish this one statement.
All right.
People probably don't know this, but every vaccine that is sold, every vaccine that is sold on the market today has a couple pennies taken off it and sent to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board, because it's a price of doing business.
Let me tell you a personal testimony about vaccinations. My wife and I went to an auction. My wife found a purse and she bought this purse. Well, she gets the purse home and she finds these doggone diabetic needles in the purse. Well, we didn't know which ones were used or which ones weren't used, and we didn't know who used them or whether they did or didn't use them. Well, either way, she come in there with this handful of these, and she said, look what I found in this purse. What do you want me to do with that? And I got all panic stricken right out of the gate because of medical reasons. I didn't want her to get poked or anything like that. And so I had her give them to me, and I said, I'll dispose of them safely. Well, one of them actually fell on the floor, and when I went down to pick it up, it stabbed me in my finger. And so I go down to the VA down there, and they start telling me, well, we're going to have to give you this series of hepatitis shots just in case. And the doctor said that there is a chance that you can contract hepatitis from this vaccine. And so I'm wanting to ask him some serious questions, because I got to weigh out my pros and cons on this. Do I want to take this chance? You know, and if I make it through the whole vaccine, there's three shots involved in this thing. If I make it through the whole thing, I supposedly come out the other side immune if everything goes well. Well, if I don't make it out the other side, I end up with hepatitis. Well,
oh, man.
And so I'm sitting there trying to ask this doctor about it, and he was getting angry because I was questioning his knowledge about medicine or whatever, that I was all paranoid. And, you know, I was like just shocked that this doctor didn't take my concerns more seriously, because this was a serious deal. So I ended up taking these doggone things because what choice did I have? I didn't know what the last person may have had. I didn't need to end up with hepatitis and transmitting that to my family. So, you know, I went through the whole shots, and luckily everything came out well. But what if the case that it didn't come out well? But the doctor wasn't concerned for my concern when I was trying to ask the serious questions about this. You see what I mean?
We need to call. We need to get right into a doctor's face and call him a hypocrite. I'm not kidding you. I have, guys, and maybe that's not a proper thing to do, but I've called the doctor a hypocrite right to his face, and they are,
now,
because they're oath to provide the best possible care for their patient. They're supposed to reveal to the patient any possible implications of vaccines, of any kind of drug that goes into a person's body. They're supposed to give that person full, complete, informed consent on that issue. And it never happens. They're hypocrites. So we got to call them up for what they are, Patty. Period.
Well, let's move on because there's more. We have federal laws, we have state laws that protect child exploitation, child abuse. There are laws against child abuse. There are laws against child exploitation. Yet we have schools and libraries who are teaching our kindergarten and up children that there is no gender, that they can be fluid, that they can dress in the opposite sex and do these dances that are being taught by these people who are transvestites or whatever.
Drag
I have
queens?
No, listen to me, I have no animosity or anything toward a person who is a transgender or who is does any of these things. I really don't. I have a severe problem against putting this on a child. This is child exploitation. When you have 7-year-olds and 10-year-olds who are dancing on a stage in these clubs and having money given to them to do these dances. This is your government in action, where you have laws on the books that say you cannot exploit a child, you cannot abuse a child. Now we go move on to the Common Core, okay, and the dumbing down of our children. The fact that there is no longer any criteria to show a child where they stand. Everybody gets the participation ribbon. Nobody fails. Nothing is gained. Every child loses in this system. Yet, our government is supporting this, is putting federal dollars out to schools to teach this. So we got big problems. Move on. GMOs in our diets, harming our children, corrupting the DNA. Where are the laws that are supposed to protect us through the FDA? Oh, that's right. Monsanto sits on the board of the FDA now. Do we have issues? Yes, we do. Where do they come from? Where do they start at? In the government. You know?
I got one on this.
Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, agriculture is real important to me, and like food, and I think that like I believe in this like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like once you have like shelter, food, and like a couple basic necessities, like you can live your life happy, and you don't really need much from anyone. And it's like this GMO seeds, like with the food and like this Terminator gene, and trying to get that out there, and the seeds, and all this malarkey. It's like I've been looking for a solution on that. I just want to jump in and throw it in there because I've been hearing rumors wanting to do some testing, whatever, whatnot, using like colloidal silver water, colloidal gold, colloidal zinc, colloidal copper, those kind of waters to soak your GMO seeds in if you can get some of them, and then see if it reverts the genes back and it changes the markers, and you can remove the marker out of that, showing that it's reverting back, it's healing that DNA. Mm. Just by soaking them in that before you see the sprout them. Yeah.
Why is the rest of the world pretty well banned GMOs and they're being promoted in North America? Why is that?
Well, sometimes you just gotta, if you really want, like, so if you're having a kid and you, if they're gonna tell you they're gonna give you vaccinations or they're gonna take your kid or whatever, you don't have to do anything. You can move. You can take your kid, call someone, meet people, find a family, find a friend, and just leave. It might be hard, but look, that's what prophets and people and all kinds of people have had to do in the past. They've had to leave everything and go somewhere their heart took them. and it was the hardest thing to do, but it opened up all the doors in the world. Like, I hate to say it, but like some of these things that are going on, if they continue to a certain point, we may have to leave. But I still have hope right now that, like, yeah, we can fix this. Like, most people don't want GMO. That's why there's all those labels on it now, and the organic section's getting bigger, even in West Virginia. And it's like, we didn't even have organic section up until, like, a couple years ago. Now it's, like, you know, popular. It's, like, because people don't want GMO seeds. And, you know, people, like, that Barack Obama ran on the fact that he was going to start labeling GMOs. That was one of his major things. He told it to all the farmers in Iowa right there. We're going to label GMO seeds because people want to know. And what did he do? He didn't do it. And it's like, it's a shame. I agree with you all. It is a tragedy. And it is enough to get fired up about.
It is. You know what?
Well, now they have CRISPR technology. GMOs are old school. CRISPR technology now starts at the very basic structure. The molecular structure, and they can create food, you know. This is the new way going ahead. And CRISPR technology is not only being utilized in the food market, but it's also being utilized in the sciences for creating life. So this is another thing. People, you know, Monsanto, they're getting sued left and right now, and people are cheering, and it is a good thing because they are coming down. But because of Bayer merging with Monsanto and getting the patent for this CRISPR technology, it's a whole new world.
Yep. Well, there's court cases against Monsanto right now. They're going to be heard in the Supreme Court. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. And if that decision comes down and upholds the lower court's ruling, then Monsanto will be a thing of the past because it will open a huge door. And they'll get sued left, right, and center, and this will come to an end, hopefully. I avoid them all, guys. I got a list of all the foods right now in my grocery store that contain GMOs, and I just don't buy them. And people say, you know, all these name brands that I used to buy, Raisin Bran and this kind of stuff, I really like it. But I live without it now, but I know I'm avoiding about 80, maybe 90% of the GMOs out there. You're still going to get them. But you can really take that responsibility yourself. Get a list. You can punch it up on the computer and take it to the grocery store with you. Try not to shop GMOs. And the people that are promoting the GMOs will see a great drop in their profits and their margins and their sales. And henceforth, they'll be forced to change.
Well, that sounds like a good solution right there.
It is a solution. If you take that simple responsibility yourself, and I'm telling people, you can go on the internet right now and punch up a list of every food in your grocery store that contains a GMO and foods that don't. And if you take that list with you to the grocery store, you can avoid it. So I don't buy anything that contains a GMO. I try and grow a lot of my own food, and that's really easy to do. I don't grow as much as I should, but I make a point every year of growing some food. I'm going to try and do a little bit more this year. But, boy, I'll tell you, our soil now is at a point where it is contaminated with all kinds of particles of nanosized aluminum and beryllium and strontium, and our food is contaminated. So it's really getting hard to put good food in your body, because even if you're growing it yourself, the soil that you're growing in, it contains these contaminants, and they're ending up in the food. So we've got a real pickle on our hands. I got the solution for that, though, too, guys. I'm telling you, you want to grow good food? Put industrial hemp on that acre of land for 2 years, and then go grow a crop. And there will be no contaminants in that food, bar none. Period. Another solution. One of the biggest solutions that we should be embracing, because all our soil is contaminated.
Well, folks, we're getting down there again. It's just, whenever you hear all this information, sometimes it can flood your brain and be overwhelming. We're not wanting you to be afraid. We're wanting you to be aware and pay attention to what's going on around you. Right now, there's a move out there to get control of this alternative media, this internet. They're actually putting it all under one umbrella. So Google's getting too powerful for my liking, and so is Facebook and other social media platforms that are able to censor people. Not to mention the fact that with all the technology that you carry in your pocket or have in your house, that they got the capabilities of snooping on you. So it's like, how much do you trust your information with all these individuals out there? I mean, heck, does everybody trust me with their information? Send it all over to me and I'll hock it to, you know, these companies out there get filthy, stinking rich. Now, I don't work like that. It don't work like me starting my own bottled water either, because the Food and Drug Administration throw me in a slammer for what some of these folks get by with. There's a difference in the crime, the punishment for crimes committed by the elite as opposed to the average Joe. If half of us did half of what any of these other folks do, then we'd already be in the jailhouse. And since the average Joe commits at least 3 felonies per day without even knowing it, and you got all this technology that follows you around, maybe they're not going to do anything whenever you ride your bicycle off of the given path. But one of these days you decide you want to run for mayor or senate or congress, suddenly, wait a second, no, this day here you committed a felony. You can't do that. You got to go to jail. So if you get powerful in your voice, they're going to want to shut you up. They did it to Alex Jones. Whether you like him or not, they took him off the web. They started deleting him. He's still got his own website, but for how long? Because if Google can do what they did to No Borders or People for People Radio Network and put a no secure tag on their site, there's a wonderful people over here. There ain't nothing wrong with that site. It's on .ning.com. Go up, look .ning.com. They're a reputable service. So is Weebly. And Shazoo's radio is getting tagged with a not secure. You know, so they're trying to gradually incrementally put themselves in a position to where they have the control over what we say. They shut them down on Facebook. They shut them down on Twitter. They shut them down on YouTube. And now the HTTPS is the normal websites that you and I were raised on. They're going to be by far, you know, like the old... you know, dinosaurs go by the wayside. And so there's going to come a day, I'm telling you, mark my words, this internet's going to go down. And when it comes back up, it's not going to be the same internet. For whatever reason they used to take it down, under some national security threat or whatever, you mark my words, they're going to pull it. And when they do, the one that comes back up ain't going to be the one that you recognize. So we got to figure out some ways by which we can still communicate with one another, because the power is in the people. What we do right here is so much more important than you can possibly imagine. The fact that Barry can get on here from Canada and say something, and Ted and Patty and Barbara and myself, we can get on here and talk about things like this, you know, and to people over in Scotland and Ireland and all these different countries out there, the fact that we can sit here and communicate back via the chat rooms is a very, very important thing. We bring to you information, both sides of the story. We bring to you information. Sometimes it's, you know, concerning, scary information. But we're not there to try to fear-monger you or get an agenda outside of the fact that we think we all need to stick together in these troubled times that we're living in. I'm concerned. I love everybody that shows up here. I love everybody that ain't showed up here. And I don't want nothing bad to happen to them. The internet goes down. They've already got the doggone microphones and cameras all over in public, and they're sneaking them into your house in your pocket as well. Please read the terms of service on everything before you decide to agree and just click I accept. Because you're giving them that power. And until you start reading that terms of service and enough people start to reject, well, they're going to keep on getting by with it. And the governments are going to keep on getting to do what they do as long as the people are allowing them to be able to do that. They pass law after law after law. And if the average Joe is committing 3 felonies a day per day, according to one book about it, I mean, there's lots of more. You can Google it up. I threw links out there in the chat rooms for you. But look it up. How many felonies somebody commits without even knowing it. So they already got the laws in place for you just in case you do something wrong. Maybe they don't want you, but maybe there's a time when you might come across something that you want to share with the world, like me and Alternative Energy. They might come out and say, wait a second, you're a criminal, and then they'll tell you all that I'm a criminal. How many of you are going to believe that I'm a criminal after knowing me all this time? But then you're going to have the doubt too. Even those of you who might know me really well might say, maybe we didn't really know him. I mean, they said, the government said, the news said, Why would they say it if it wasn't true? Well, is it true that People for People Radio is a not secure website? Have any of you been harmed by being here? Is it true that Shaziz Radio is not a secured website? Have any of you been harmed by being here? We're getting harmed more by Skype, owned by Microsoft, than we are from our two networks. And when Google has the power to say whether we're secure or whether we're not, when Facebook has the power to shut you up if you have information, when Twitter and all the other social media platforms like YouTube can block out any kind of dissent, any difference in opinion, we're going to come to a day when we ain't got this voice. And so I'm begging and pleading to each and every one of you listening in, don't give up on us. And if you got other friends, tell them this place is secure. We're doing all right here. And we'll hold it up as long as we can. But there's going to come a time they're not going to allow us to do this anymore. And unless we got some sort of plan in place, you know what we got? We got George Orwell's 1984. You're a thought criminal. I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want my children to live in a world like that. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go ahead. I've been kind of listening and chatting here in the peopleforpeople.ning.com chat room. It's so good to see everybody here on this Sunday. Yeah, nice group of people. Love all your input. I just gave everybody permission to rant to their heart's content. I figured we all had a good rant today. I love it. I love to be able to speak clearly without being censored. And, you know, I mean, we're not saying anything. We're not attacking anybody, are we, you guys? I don't think so. We're just speaking the truth, right? Telling it like it is. And, you know, I'm always happy to be here with you, Shizzers, and love you guys, Barry and Patty, my sister. Love to see everybody out there. You know me, when we get to the end here, after we've gone through all the mud, muck, and mire, those are three lawyers you don't want to hire. I always say, get right with your creator. It's a simple thing. It's a simple tool, but powerful. And it just means, you know, like start making that relationship with something sacred and beautiful and joyous and compassionate and loving, nurturing. You know, that's good. Look at that as a frequency of creator. Frequency of something sacred and divine and awesome. Get right with that. Bring that into yourself. Become that. You know, being that is a frequency that is so powerful. And I guess you'd say it's like a shield. We look at this stuff because we're researchers and we want to know what is it that we are up against. You know, we have to know. Don't stick your head in the sand. Let's get smart. Let's get wise. I think we are in that spiritual battle. We keep talking about it. It seems to be so. I think we're not the only ones here on People for People that speak about that. I think that the elders of many nations have been telling us that we are headed and we are now within a spiritual battle. I guess that means the battle for your own spirit within you and the battle against something that wants to, like Chief Charles Tudog says, eat souls, eat your spirits, or eat the souls, you know. I feel uplifted. I do. I always feel uplifted after being with you guys and seeing all the wonderful people here in chat. It's nice to know I'm not alone. It's also nice to know I'm not crazy. I do admit to being a wackadoodle, and that's okay. Because I know you guys are right there with me.
Yep.
It feels good to be a wackadoodle, you know. Used to be terrified to say, yes, I'm crazy. Yes, I'm a wackadoodle. Yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Yes, I'm an anarchist. Yes, I'm a people person. I'm a one who is connected to, I guess, mostly to the mother and nature, which is our life, our original place where we need to be. So step outside today and just feel the mother and breathe in and be positive and send out some good vibes today. Shine your light, as I say. Oh, shine your light. Yep. The love vibrations, that's what we need, folks. And that's where I'm going to stand, in that sacred circle, the love vibration. Philomaya, thank you, Doksha.
I agree, amen. And awesome as usual.
Amen.
So who wants to go next?
Daddy. Want me to go? That's real.
Well, I'm just going to say, live, love, laugh, stand strong. And the greatest work that you can do is to raise the vibration, to raise the love, to raise the frequency within yourself. Doing that, if we all did that, I think we could cure a lot of the ills. We've got a lot of work to do once we get ourselves in that right place, but we're up to the challenge. We've got what we need, got all the tools we need. Let's just believe in ourselves and believe in each other that we can get through this. Love to each and all.
Wonderful as usual. How about you, Barry or Ted? Which one do you want to go first? No pushing, no shoving. Plenty of room at the mic.
Go ahead, Ted.
Okay. I wanted to say to you all that I just appreciate it as usual to get the time to share with you all. And it's something to me that, you know, as seeking like a kind of an understanding of no judgment and letting people live with free will, you know, I just appreciate, you know, people that make a decision on something. And, you know, even the folks that we would look at as greedy or the people that want to take instead of give, and they work towards a goal, and, you know, they seem to be somewhat successful at it. And, you know, I bless them and wish them, you know, peace on their journey and, you know, greater elevation. And I, you know, what I really pray for, though, is what we call maybe like the non-player characters, the NPCs that just seem to be kind of stuck in the middle, regurgitating NPR or whatever their outlet is. And I really pray for them to make a decision, you know, if they want to give or take. And it's a simple decision to make, and once you make it, you're free to really extend your path. And no real decision is the wrong decision. All roads lead home. But I think that our group here, we're trying to hope that people decide to give a little more. And I thank you all for all that, and, you know, bless you all. Thank you. Peace.
Very well said,
please come
brother.
Back. Please come back next week, Ted. Thank you. Thank
well, you. It's up to you, so, Barry.
Well, you know what, guys? I actually set my alarm clock this morning because I didn't want to get in for the last hour. I wanted to get in for a couple hours today, so I set my alarm clock for 6 and was in ready to go at 7, but you weren't reading your Skype there.
No, nope, sorry about that. That was
a little bit
me.
More attention, but you know what? This is one of the most uplifting shows that I get involved in every week. I feel love in this room. I feel a vibration. I love talking with Patty. I love talking with Barbara. I love their insight and their passion and their understanding for what's going on in this world, and us to be able to get together and share these thoughts and really get our hearts out to people. Well, you know, that's what we're all about, man. We're about our heart. Every day, buddy, I smile at people, and I talk to people, and I open up a genuine love, and I show people that. And it has an amazing effect on people's lives. So do that every day in your life. Smile. Start a conversation with a total stranger, because there's a real need in our society to communicate with each other that has been taken away. And it's one of the things that they have implemented and done so well to break us down, to be able to create a society that doesn't communicate, that doesn't open their heart to each other. Well, that's the most important thing that we can do right now in our lives, bar none. Love being with you guys. Love the show. And I'll be back next week. To
amen,
again.
Brother. And thank you. I'm glad you made it here. I'll try to keep a better eye on the chat. Well, folks, been another wonderful show. I thought better of my whole plan about running in front of my toaster and striking a sexy pose in my SpongeBob boxers, because I don't want to get charged with a hate crime or causing a seizure or something crazy like that. So I won't do that. There won't be no leaked photos of old Shaziz there. So with that said, watch out what you're bringing into your house. Don't bring no spy bots into your house. Read the doggone terms of services before you agree to anything. You got to protect yourself. You got to protect one another. Look, it's been another wonderful show. I love everyone out there listening in. Thank you very much for your support. If you like this podcast, this broadcast just now, rebroadcast it. Take it out there, pass it around. Let somebody hear what we got to say, because there are people out here who really care. There's a lot of good people over at People for People Radio Network and Shaziz Radio and all the other affiliated networks. We can't do this without you. You all are, each one of you is a piece of this puzzle, and until we all come together, we'll never get the big picture. We're up against a spiritual journey of epic proportions. We're up against some sort of form of darkness that wants to try to take us down. But I tell you what, where there's a will, there's a way. I'll send smoke signals to you, Patty, before I give up. You know what I mean?
I'm right next door to you, so I'll see him.
All right. Well, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Listen, don't leave up out here just yet. Listen to what this grasshopper is telling the other grasshoppers in a little clip that I got from Bug's Life, because it says it all. It says it all, and this is what we need to do. So, peace and love. Take care, buddy.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant. Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
Red lights at the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more stable. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. When rock comes back in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
The Terrible, always working to serve the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.